everybody. Welcome to episode number 88 of the Metroid Viewcast. I'm Wes Gardner, your host for tonight's proceedings. And we're down one Brian Belita, but he kind of has a good reason. We'll get to that here in a little bit when we start talking about E3. But, he's not going to E3, but it'll make sense. But right over here we have Mr. Imran Khan.
Yo.
Yeah, we got Mark Bradshaw.
Must play games. Us not talk to women.
and we have Matt Pierce.
Clearly, my porn addiction is preventing my ability to form relationships with the opposite sex.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
My wife agrees.
Take it. Yeah. I'm surprised we can even make a podcast because we're all so addicted to games and porn.
Oddly, not porn games, because those things are just terrible.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, AO.
That would be a good podcast name, Games and Porn.
Automatically number one on iTunes. But yeah, let's talk about this for a minute. There's a CNN Health article. We're going to link it in the show notes. And it's called The Demise of Guys, How Video Games and Porn Are Ruining a Generation. And
you know what gets at me actually the most about this? When we read this and it says ruining a generation, the word ruining seems to have the same exact use as when NeoGAF comes out and says that Nintendo is ruining games.
Right. That they've lost their way.
Like, that is a very specific meaning of the word ruin.
Yeah, and like, they don't even really talk about how it's ruining a generation, do they?
It just sounds like it's ruined in that it doesn't meet their exact expectations.
Right.
Their logic appears to be that men are increasingly, what's the word, unable, or I guess are unwilling to go court women.
Right.
Because they have video games and they have porn for their stimulation. Which, not true, because I partake of video games and occasionally sometimes porn. I still like women a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm willing to go court women.
Right.
Can we, as a podcast, I mean, I understand, like, we only represent a very narrow slice of demographic pie, and that I mean men, because it's all we have on this podcast.
Right.
But can we, as a podcast, agree that we really like girls?
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
Nitrobeer.com
endorses women. Sure.
Yeah, we totally endorse women.
Yeah,
I feel like even if we had gay podcasters, they would be happy to say they are also pro women.
Sure.
Maybe not sexually, but they're willing to say women are not lower than video games.
Right.
I think we can also say we like women, and like, as a gaming podcast, a gaming website, we also like video games.
Sure. You know.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
I'm sorry, but I've never been on the street and seen like a pretty lady and like said, oh man, I wish I was playing Assassin's Creed right now. This is never.
Yeah. I
pretty lady said, I could go up and talk to this lady, or I could go jerk off some pornography. That sounds like a lot easier. I've never actually, well, maybe I've done it a couple times, but it's not it's not normal.
Right.
It's not.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm sorry, Gabby. Go ahead.
Yeah, but it's just silly to me because, I mean, we all know this is ridiculous, but how video games and porn are ruining a generation. I think what they're saying is, well, it's an instant gratification thing, right? Like, we don't necessarily have to try because porn's readily available and video games are instant gratification.
Well, let's talk about, like, a generation.
Yeah.
What generation are they talking about?
Right.
We've had porn for a long while.
Yes.
It's been easy to get to porn for a long while. I mean, if you want porn, like, back 20, 30 years ago, it was still just a matter of going to the 7-Eleven and going back to the corner and getting some god-awful hustlers.
Yeah, you push back the blanket that's covering all the stuff. You know, go into the little room that they have. And here's the thing. Dr. Philip Zimbardo, which is, the most James Bond villain name, and he has his mustache and stuff.
You need to put the Bond like twang that da 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 after you say his name.
I'm here to destroy your porn and your games, Mr. Bond.
Okay, judging by his picture, dude's maybe in what, late 50s, early 60s, maybe.
Generously, that dude is some Grecian formula, because that face is the face of a grizzled old man, and there's not a speck of gray on that motherfucker.
Right.
Maybe he spends like all day just staring directly into the face of the sun, and this is how that happens. But nah, this is an old dude.
Yeah, pretty old guy, right? But even so, that being said, even if he's older than what we think, that even furthers the point. There was porn back then, right?
Sure, yeah. Okay, he's 79 years old. Dr. Philip Zimbardo is 79 years old. Number one, there's no way you have that jet black hair when you're 79, unless he's a genetic freak.
All right, which I mean, true. Hell, he doesn't need porn. So apparently,
he has
testosterone of like 10 men.
Wait a minute.
But then
if you abandon porn in games, you can, I don't know, because you have to be an asshole. I mean, it turns you into an asshole if you don't partake in porn in games.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a good point too. But here's the thing. Okay, porn and games, they're readily available. They're very easy pastimes to consume, right? But so are sports.
Sure. Yeah. And like sports you like never interact with guys. I mean, if you're on the baseball team, you're never interacting with a chick unless it's like a cheerleader.
A lot of shower time is what you're saying. And to me, that seems a little bit more than what they're trying to bring this point up. But here's the deal. I'm actually going to call it. The other person that helped write this is Nikita Duncan. We all talked about before the cast. She has kind of this smug smile on her face. She's upset she can't get a date.
I don't think it's that. I think it's more of a...
Nah, she's pretty. She can
not get a not a smug feminism sort of thing, but just sort of a, oh, guys are so terrible, this generation. What happened to the days of them wearing suits and, you know, courting women?
The days of Wuthering Heights.
The days of us all being basically jerk cowboy jocks and just running around.
Arranged marriages with the other house from across the land.
Basically, I mean, they're winning a period before Joss Whedon was born, I think. Maybe he's to bone blame.
Yeah. Oh, I saw Avengers, and that was awesome, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
See it.
Good movie. I don't want to get too down on Nikita Duncan because I have absolutely no idea what part she played in this, but. Dr. Zimbardo is known for the Stanford Prison Experiment.
Oh, wow, really?
That was him?
Yeah, which, by the way, was an experiment. The only experimental research they cite in his TED Talk is this 1954 experiment with mice being able to stimulate their own pleasure centers in their brain, which I guess he thinks is similar to video games in that he must assume that video games are like press a button – instantly stimulate your pleasure sensors.
Yeah, and I mean, there's something true about that, because isn't every video game a Skinner box? I mean, at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, some of them are. Like Diablo is, sure, but like if I'm playing Ninja Gaiden, like the first one for the Xbox, that thing was just... It was like 15 minutes of just sheer frustration, like nearly going to like throw the controller at the screen, but then you get that huge cathartic release when you actually finished a level or got through a boss or whatever.
But you could say that for any hobby or sport.
Yeah,
it's something you do that eventually stimulates the pleasure centers of your brain.
Yeah, it's not like you're sitting there hitting the A button and all it's like, oh my goodness, it's a grid, and you just instantly have like an orgasming experience. That doesn't happen.
Well, not unless you're playing a BioWare game.
Yeah, you totally do it in BioWare game.
Do you not remember that quote they gave? Like every time you press the A button, something awesome happens.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're mashing A, it's gonna be nonstop awesome.
Just a pleasure center.
Although I think Ashura's Wrath might count for this.
I guess so.
But if like his entire thing is like instant gratification and just hitting like the nerve center for just doing whatever, isn't it much? I mean, gaming, you actually have to put some effort into it in order to get to the next part. You know, if you had a game that just gave me like, I don't know, like something neat happened whenever I hit a button, that's not a very great video game, as the latest BioWare games can attest. That's kind of like meth, you know? That's that's cocaine or something. Like, you can hit some cocaine and, like, you feel like an instant hit of pleasure and gratification.
Yeah, but it's not like, in its simplest form, video games are pressing buttons to receive pleasure.
Sure.
But
like games, they have psychologists on staff to design things now. Like, I know Valve has several. But Microsoft called in psychologists to design the achievement system.
But it's not exactly comparable to a study where those buttons were literally wired to the limbic system of the mouse and brain.
There's that cognitive dissonance. There's a separation in what it hit. And here's the deal. The one thing the article could bring up, but it doesn't because it has a woman involved, is remember that mom that drank a whole bunch of water for a wee?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It got water intoxication. So, okay. This article could be too much of a good thing is bad for you, right? I mean, you can take away all the studies and all that stuff. But basically what he's saying, you know, hey, there's this thing that can give instant gratification, but, you know, it's way too much of it's going to rot your brain. It's one of those fear-mongering things.
I guess.
Too much. But that woman tried to win a Wii by drinking a lot of water all at once. So this is kind of a good example because, okay, too much water is a bad thing.
Well, you know. But even if you're talking about video game overdose, they talk about the guy in South Korea who had a cardiac arrest after playing 50 hours of StarCraft. But they don't talk about the male-female couple who had their child taken away because they ignored the kid so that they could play D&D online.
Correct.
Yeah, right. They were arrested for child neglect and abuse because they neglected their child so they could play online.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just a man, so it's not supporting the hypothesis of this article, so it doesn't get brought up.
Which is crazy.
And, like, those instances where you see the people who just basically just completely withdraw from society and play video games, that's extraordinarily rare considering that culture is basically gaming culture at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you can see a lot more examples where people like just hole up into a hotel room with beer and basically just said they're going to die by drinking enough beer and just fucking the world.
Yeah.
Or disappear on a meth bender.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and
There's something that's sort of related that I kind of wanted to bring up. I was going to do a rant about this anyway, because at work the other day, a family came in and they got brain age, and they were talking about how all sorts of doctors and scientists said how great it was for your brain. You're right. No one ever said that. I think gaming people said, oh, look how great this is. But
marketing said that.
Yeah, marketing said that. But
one
also,
doctor trying to sell his books on brain age stuff.
Sure. And it's funny because gamers can't have it both ways. Whenever an article comes out where it's like, oh, games are ruining culture, games are making us violent, there's science to back it up, all the gamers go, what fucking science? I don't see any reliable science here.
What, the declining violent crime rate?
And then they're saying, but now whenever someone brings that up, like, look how science says that these games make you smarter. It's like, well, you can't use that same science to, I don't know. It just seems wishy-washy to me. Like, if it's a good thing, then of course everybody backs it. Like, oh, well, this is science said it, so it must be true. It's like, well, they also said it makes you more violent, but that's clearly wrong, you know?
Yeah, that's one of the first things these guys like Dr. Zimbabwe will point to and say that there's all these studies that point to gaming making you more violent, or the guys trying to pass legislation in California were doing the exact same thing. There's all this legislation, all these studies pointing to gaming making you violent, and they can't actually point to a single study that actually does this. If you press them for the evidence, they can't come up with anything because there is literally no connection there.
Yeah,
and like the most conclusive study that linked games to violence had children circling words, and the ones who had just finished playing a really intense game circled slightly more frequently aggressive sounding words.
Right.
It's like, that's not a connection to doing violent things.
Right. They'd get that same thing if they just went for a run. Like, you know, you have adrenaline going, you have some sort of growth hormone shooting out of your spine. Like, you have genetics and you have your hormones that are going, and that's going to happen regardless. You know, video games may be able to slightly cause it, but you can't tell me you go and run a mile that your body's not going to be in a much different state than it would be if you played an hour of Call of Duty
or watched an action-packed movie,
right,
as opposed to a comedy. Yeah, maybe you've got action words on your mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's talk about like real world examples of this sort of thing where we're talking about like gaming making people more violent or changing the way people think. Charles Whitman, he went up in Texas Bell Tower in 1966, killed a bunch of people with a sniper rifle.
Damn you, punk.
Yeah. Or let's talk about Charles Manson. Let's talk about he convinced his group to kill a bunch of people in California. They never played video games.
Rock and roll.
Talk about rock and roll. Or let's talk about the Heaven's Gate cultists who talked themselves into killing each other after watching a bunch of Star Trek.
Well, actually, we mentioned this before the podcast, but we didn't mention it now, why you're bringing up mass murderers.
Yeah. Because
the article brings up Anders Breivik.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Norway shooter.
The Norway shooter, yeah. Who was a madman and had, and was also an enormous racist.
Yes.
And I can't point to any, like, enormously racist video games.
But it doesn't mention the racism. It talks about how much he played Call of Duty, which kind of goes hand in hand with racism, but not that much.
Right.
Well, he also just hates liberals and like liberal thinking, which I guess also goes into Call of Duty because, man, those guys love some shooting. But
I
can't.
If he was hardcore religious or hardcore atheist. But it doesn't particularly matter.
He was against the. I think it was a. A secular like summer camp or something like that.
Yeah,
sort of like that. He was basically against the liberal culture in what was the country in which he was? She did it. Sweden? Was it Sweden?
Norway.
Yeah, it's all the same. Anyway, he was basically against the massive liberal culture there. Yeah, and he said he'd do it again.
Yeah,
he's just a madman against a particular ideology.
Sure, and Norway kind of has that history of sort of embracing that mentality with the church burnings.
It's in that part of Europe all everywhere.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not going to be for everybody of Norway, but I mean, that sort of undertone, like, hell, I'll be truthful. I live in Waco. Are you kidding me? Nobody's gotten over Waco since Waco happened.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they didn't find any Game Boys in the Branch Davidian compound once it was burned down.
Right, exactly. Like,
I don't remember anything coming up.
Yeah, David Koresh was not the biggest fan of, like, Ultima 2.
Were Game Boys there, and he did turn out to be Jesus, wouldn't that mean then games are good?
Sure.
If he turned out to be Jesus. I mean, we're pointing out a very specific point of sequence of events. I know. If it turns out that he was Jesus and we shot him anyway and there was a Game Boy there, then we probably did something very bad.
Those batteries died for your sins.
Yes.
If there were Game Boys and he wasn't Jesus, would they blame the violence on games?
It
seems like any time there is violence and somebody owns video games, clearly the video games are the reason violence.
I'm going to say no because of this. Aside from the very specific example of Mortal Kombat for the Game Boy, can you point to a violent Game Boy game? Because it seems like everything is Tetris and Kirby and Mario. They seem pretty
cool
chill.
I think Coolspot made me throw my Game Boy through a wall.
Okay, that wasn't actually violent itself.
Yeah, it's hard to get graphic violence when your graphics are 4 gray tones.
Yeah.
Just needs a lot of imagination.
But I mean, like, you never point to the people who have been playing video games and aren't violent.
Like, you know, 99.999% of
people. Yeah, like the billions of people.
Or even, God forbid, people who love video games and are really good Samaritans.
Sure.
Right. Or decent human beings and good members of society. But I think also they were talking about not just the violence aspect. They were talking about how it's destroying men. It's turning us into, like, these sexless zombies who refuse to interact with women.
Arousal addiction is what they call it.
Yeah. It's like we get our rocks off playing Ninja Gaiden or Civilization 5 Wider instead of looking at some nice boobs. And it's like every relationship I know of my age has some sort of gaming aspect to it. And maybe that's because I just know gamers and that's just because that's my social group.
Right.
It's like everyone I know met through gaming or like they're in their relationship and gaming defines a certain part of that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I have two friends that renewed their vows on World of Warcraft, which is I didn't attend because that's stupid.
Yeah.
But they're not killing people.
I have attended many like World of Warcraft or EverQuest weddings.
Yeah, they have them publicly now.
In the RP community, yeah.
And it makes it really easy to get, like, a wedding present. You just, like, go pick some of the blossom-blooming flowers out in the field, and you're like, here you go.
Yeah, here you go.
Enjoy your marriage.
Yeah.
But,
Here's a rare drop.
Yeah.
You know, but, even the not-very-gaming-focused people I know, you know, both people in the relationship play games sometimes.
Right. Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, even if only one of them is really into gaming.
Right.
It seems to me like the one thing gaming does that maybe these people can't wrap their minds around is that if you are a social introvert, if and these people have always existed. It's not like social introverts are just now popping up because of the internet,
right? Yeah, because of video games, right.
Yeah, they're just able to have a social life.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not something people were able to do back in 1930 whatever when this guy was born.
Right. That's just kind of I thought it was kind of a joke, but like he's literally 80 years old, so
yeah, he is actually literally 80 years old. This guy went through penicillin, car electricity, the taming of like wolves, and imagine all these things also pissed off Philip Zimbabwe at some point,
because cars you could crash cars and kill people, so they were immediately 3-ton death machines.
Well, you know, the car would also allow men to like just drive cars instead of meeting women.
Yeah, if you're spending all your fucking time driving, what are you doing with your life?
Yeah, probably not a whole lot. You're probably not fucking women.
But then they established that cars can facilitate screwing women.
Sure. Who's that groundbreaking person that figured out, hey, the back seat's kind of like a bed? Like
I guarantee that happened 5 minutes after the car itself was invented.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, because they were open top for like 30 years after they were invented.
That wouldn't stop people.
But
Ford was taking Miss Ford out, and they were like saying awful racist things and then having sex in the back of a Model T. I guarantee that was happening.
And that's where we got O. Henry Kennedy bars.
Oh, my.
O. Henry.
So see, addiction.
Here's
So video games.
Yeah, like, they bring up, you know, that it's arousal addiction, but then that's not immediately they found out what the addiction is. Like, it's not video games, and it's not porn, it's arousal.
So, sure. Yeah, but it's not really even fair to say that all gamers get an arousal response games.
Yeah, I mean, I played StarCraft where I literally, want to smash my face into a keyboard to be violent against myself because I was having a terrible time. Not because the game made me super violent and I learned how to like summon marines from the sky, but
I feel like I get the same reaction from games that I get from books or movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, hey, this is entertaining. I'm enjoying this.
While it's interactive, the experience is still somewhat passive. And
I think that's what the big issue is. This is a new cultural medium, you know? And these people don't understand it because, you know, they didn't grow up with it.
Right.
They don't understand that gaming can't, you know, go and say, gaming is art, gaming is serious. And no, it's just another part of culture, and it's a valid part of culture.
Yeah.
It is as valid as going out and watching the Avengers. It is as valid as watching Game of Thrones. And we don't knock civilization for doing these things.
Right.
Although
I mean, somebody
probably does. Yeah, I would suspect that these are the same people who are knocking people who are watching like The Hunger Games or Twilight or whatever, you know, the thing, whatever the kids are doing. These are just a bunch of crotchety old men who don't understand that their parents and their grandparents were saying the same things about I don't know, the invention of penicillin or what the
hair
fuck.
Gel.
Well, it's like that old Miyamoto quote that was like from 1986 or 7. Like they told him, people say video games are bad for you. And he's like, that's what they said about rock and roll.
Yeah.
And despite Helter Skelter supposedly being the inspiration for Manson to kill a bunch of people, the Beatles kind of enjoyed a pretty decent career. And music did not end right there.
Right. And people fondly remember the Beatles. You know, I mean, it's I just think that video games, you know, we always bring up video games an infant industry. But it's not even that anymore. It's a different industry.
Yeah, it's been around for a generation.
Yeah. And it's people just still don't quite understand it. I mean, hell, we have a podcast every week. And it's still, video games are still kind of out of the realm of definition. Like, we can tell you why we like them, what's cool about them, all this other stuff, but there's still something else, right? There's still that one thing. It's like whenever you ask somebody, well, why do you own 10,000 books? You know, why do you have your own library? They'll tell you how great books are, but then there's still something else, right? There's like, well, they're searching for something, or this type of hobby gives me an outlet. And it gets me closer to realizing something about myself. And video games are at that point, but since it's still kind of wishy-washy on who a gamer is, people don't want to be defined by that definition yet. So,
which is weird, because I think maybe gamers as a culture kind of bring upon themselves by having that sort of inferiority complex.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before, but gamers don't know how to be social.
Yeah,
and that's what kills them as it kills the acceptance.
I mean, I gotta disagree with that though. Like, gamers do know how to be social. It's just that the antisocial ones are the ones that get picked out.
Yeah.
Like,
no, we
know
how to be differently social.
Low as you would imply, though. I feel like that's got to be minimum half of the, like, of people who would self-identify as gamers.
But that's the thing. I know a lot of people who play games and play very regularly who don't self-identify as gamers.
Sure.
They're just people who play video games.
Right.
That's because culture has basically evolved around gaming. It's like people grown up with gaming. They don't think of it as any differently. That, you know, who in the right mind thinks of themselves as a person who watches a lot of television?
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of people.
Walks around saying, I'm a film snob.
Yeah.
You know, film snobs exist, you know, but
people who self-identify as film snobs.
Right. The industry is much wider than that.
Yeah. And another thing is, when all these things are brought up, yeah, the guy who played StarCraft for 50 hours, you know, went to cardiac arrest. But here's a guy who literally could play StarCraft for 50 hours and no one told him not to.
Sure.
And the point I bring up there is a lot of these people, like kind of what you guys brought up, there are the social isolates, right? The people that just wouldn't be part of society anyway.
They're hermits.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
What's the Japanese term? The hikikomori?
Hikikomoris.
Yeah. And so these are people
to spend 50 hours playing World of Warcraft without interruption, you'd have to live the kind of life where no one's going to miss you for 50 hours.
Correct. Exactly. You're not going to see – it's not going to be on CNN. A father of four and the creator of this charity that does a softball tournament every 2 months and, you know, lived this wonderful life, and he helped open these Whole Food grocery stores, and he helped sponsor a hospital. He went on a crazy-ass bender, man, and he played StarCraft for, like, 700 hours. He was like a coke addict, man. It was crazy, and he died. And you're like, that doesn't happen.
That said, I have known gamers who have allowed games like World of Warcraft or EverQuest to destroy their relationship.
Well, sure. And I mean, there's those people, but if it wasn't that, it'd be alcohol. Or if it wasn't that,
yeah, I've known people that have allowed drugs to destroy their relationship.
Correct.
Right. These are like otherwise good people, and then they made bad choices.
And it is true. And I mean, and it is true that whenever they say arousal addiction, what they kind of mean is dopamine addiction. Because dopamine is released as a pleasure center. That's what gets released, like, whenever you climax watching porn. You release dopamine. So people just become dope addicts. What do you think porn stars are?
That's actually not a bad thing, though. Like, video games helping you cope with bad situations is not awful.
Yeah,
I've gotten out of depression by just, like, focusing on video games.
Sure. I mean,
if you focus on meth, you'd be dead.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you picked up dopamine, you'd feel great, but yeah, you'd be dead. And
See, but that's a very good thing to bring up, though, Imran, because, you know, if it was my parents' generation, my mom would have focused on one of her favorite hobbies, knitting.
Sure.
My dad would have focused on one of his favorite hobbies, painting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hobby. It's something you do that you enjoy.
Right.
It's
one thing I think may be happening that's different than other times in society, and it's kind of fed into how the internet operates, is that you can allow your hobby to define your life.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, like,
the great Dick Wolf theorem.
What?
Oh, yes.
Because on Law and Order, every time somebody has a hobby, that defines everything about them.
I think that might be
usually
happening.
It leads to murder.
Yeah, it usually does. It's almost always some murder or rape or somebody.
I thought this had something to do with Penny Arcade when you said Dick Wolf.
It always abuse me just because of, like, the Law and Order thing.
Right. But it's like, you have your job. It used to be, like, your job defined you. And that doesn't really happen anymore unless you're a crazed CEO or management sort. I don't know about you, any of you guys. I have no intention of letting my job define me because, you know, my spare time is actually more precious to me than money.
Correct. Yeah.
And I think with the internet, this allows you to do it because you can connect with like-minded people. And as a society, we kind of realize that maybe the whole chasing money thing is actually sort of insane and was leading us to bad things.
Oh, sure.
You know, people were unhappy with that. And people realize that, wait a minute, maybe we shouldn't be defined by the thing we do 8 hours a day to get money to do this other thing we actually enjoy. Maybe we should be defined by this other thing we actually enjoy.
Correct.
And,
well, it's interesting now because, like, when you define someone by their job, it's usually derogatory. Like,
yes.
Oh, that guy's a banker.
There's Billy the mechanic.
Meanwhile, your fathers were defined by their jobs, and that was how society defined them.
Sure.
Yeah, my father, like, he was a professor, and that was like that defined him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Me, and that's like, how society operates.
Yeah, I have no idea. I've known him for 20 something years. I don't know what his hobbies are.
Right. And I mean, and that's also for that generation, it was being a workaholic. You know, yes. People just stay at work for 90 hours a week because they didn't want to go home and deal with whatever drama, or they didn't want to have to deal with real life situations.
And, guess what? They were also in sexless relationships with no passion.
Yeah, sure.
Which
they
is
were.
What Dr. Xylophone is telling us is happening with our
Yeah, they were sexless zombies because they didn't have time to do anything else. And yeah, it's just silly. This all just repeats itself. I mean, but
it reminds me of exactly what people were saying about people in the 60s. Like, oh, society's basically at its end because these guys don't believe in the structure anymore. They only believe in pleasure.
Right.
Which, but no, they kind of got over it. And then Nixon came and fucked things up.
Sure.
And like in those guys who were saying those things about the guys in the 60s, their dads and their granddads were saying the exact same things about them, about whatever bullshit they're doing. And it's like, I hope this doesn't happen, but it's probably going to happen. Everyone in this podcast are going to be yelling at the next generation.
That's what I was going to bring up. What do we think that's going to be? Because we have video games, we have rock and roll, we have books, we have movies, we have all this other stuff. We have.
I don't see how it can get any better.
Well, and like we have social media stuff now, and I mean, I will say it's really creepy to me to think that my daughter at the age of like 10 or 11, if she goes out like to a slumber party, is going to have an emergency cell phone on her. That's a weird premise to me.
Because, I mean, my little cousin who was like 8 got an iPhone. I was like, what?
Yeah, no, it blows my mind. Like
these kids, we're raising a generation, and I was like, we don't have the right to judge this because this is how technology works. We're raising a generation that's quite unlike anything we've seen because they're going to be connected to themselves and everybody else 24/7.
The world is a lot smaller.
Yeah, we have no idea how it's going to operate. But you know what? They're probably going to understand it because we understood it. And so every generation comes out and they're saying, oh my God, these kids are not going to be able to handle it. And you know what? They do. Every generation, they figure it out.
Yep.
But we're not going to understand theirs.
No, we're not. And we can't be the one to figure it out.
I forget who was telling me this, but like apparently kids these days don't know how to type or use computers or access their email.
Yeah.
Because all their phones just do that for them.
Oh, shit. Yep. I didn't even think about that.
So you got to train your daughter.
That is kind of true, and I can tell you that for a fact from the students we support at the college where I work.
So you're saying this generation is actually two generations ago? What is this?
That's absolutely true. They have no idea what a fax machine is. If they have to fax, they have to go find an office somewhere where someone still owns a fax. The biggest problem, though, is that faxes don't work over VoIP lines, so they don't always work anyway.
Shit.
So they would much rather be able to email an attachment.
We are truly the middle generation.
Well, let's be perfectly frank. Faxes were sort of bullshit, and it's good that they're gone.
Sure.
Which I think we might be the generation that, like, the only generation that really knows computers.
Yeah.
Faxes were sort of bullshit, and it would be awesome if they were gone. But they're not. They're still around.
Weird.
As far as I know, faxes are a thing that, like, sends vacation spam, and that's pretty much it.
Sends that, or you have to sign it. You have to get something to sign to send to your apartment complex to lease out an apartment.
Lawyers have kind of sort of agreed that if you sign a fax and then fax that back, that counts.
Yeah.
Which I still call bullshit on, but that's how I sign my mortgage.
How do you know it was me? But that's a weird idea to think about. What happens when computers are outdated ideas?
Well, I don't think it's going to be the tablet because that's going to be outdated too. This is probably going to be the Google Glasses. You know, it's probably just going to be something you wear constantly, something that you don't have to think about, something you're constantly interacting with.
That'll really be ruining a generation because can you imagine how easy porn would be to get on those? Oh, man.
Well, yeah. You can hear
that
me watching
like
porn
old
right now.
Man waves in my brain, just thinking about people walking around with glasses with the internet in them.
Yeah, and that's what's going to happen. So you might as well go ahead and buy some internet glasses right now to get used to it.
I don't think that will ever catch on because that is just a fashion disaster.
It'll work. Somebody like Donna Karen will figure it out.
I think real, legitimate wearable computers are a thing that will never quite happen.
Right.
The pocketable computer totally makes sense. Smartphones becoming more feature-full computers in the future, that makes sense to me. But something you would wear, that people would see will never make sense in a world where people care what they look like.
Yeah, like
here's,
a laser.
Here's what I'm thinking. It's not that so much the computer that you wear, it's a computer that you don't have to think about. It's the computer that's just always there. It's always powered on. And in order to figure that out, we're going to have to figure out like the batteries, because right now that's the one thing that's on and back. But it's the computer you never have to think about like not working. It's never the computer you have to worry about rebooting. You never have to worry about like opening up and figure out what the fuck happened to the motherboard. It's just stuff that works. And it kind of sucks because that means techs like are going to be out of work. Like guys who know how computers work, they're going to become very – less special.
Well, they're gonna be the guys who know how phones work.
Yeah, the rotary phone repairman. Yeah, it's just an outdated idea.
And those guys had jobs for like 20 years, and then they completely
disappeared. Yep.
So that's.
Well, I feel like I'm one of those people that likes to keep up on new technology and is always interested in new stuff. But when people like, I know there's going to be a cutoff point where it just goes far beyond me.
Yeah, you're like, this is fucking ridiculous.
I don't know what how that's going to happen. Like, I can't picture a situation where I'm not reading tech blogs. But I know it's going to happen.
At some point, you just you become at peace with the idea that you can't keep up with everything. So you just have a couple things that you keep on top of, and you're just happy with that, and you just outsource everything else out to people who actually pay attention to shit like television.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the one thing that's going to be most important of all is your free time. You can't hold on to all of this stuff. It's kind of like, I don't believe the singularity is ever going to happen, but it kind of feeds into the singularity, the point where culture as a whole can't keep track of everything. At that point, technology and culture becomes bigger than humanity.
Right.
And
it becomes an archive. Almost.
Yeah, and I think we're probably at that point, right? If that's a singularity, I think we probably exceeded that point. But you just have to be at peace with the fact that you're never going to be able to keep hold of everything. You're never going to be able to know everything. It's just too big. It's too chaotic. There's just too much stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's going to happen like when you're about 32, I'd say. Then everything will
Oh, boy.
Just throwing a number out there.
Yeah. Just throwing a number out there. Yeah.
So much to look forward to.
Hooray.
Life becomes so much simpler, though.
Yeah, that's what I... And another thing, since porn was a topic, I can't wait till my testosterone, like, cuts in half. You know what I mean? So you can get shit done. You don't wake up with a boner. You don't... You know what I mean? Like, it just make life a lot easier.
Yeah, you're not jerking it, like, 4 or 5 times a day. You can actually get something else done with your life.
Yeah, the weirdest things... Great. And I know all the guys listening will do this. Like, you're going to be doing something like, okay, I have my contact solution, you know, and I'm, like, putting in my contacts, and he's like, you know what would be cool right now? Having sex.
Yeah. There's because something about the fucking contact solution set off your brain. It's like, oh, man.
No, there was no thing that triggered it. It just happens. And, you know, women are always amazed. Like, do guys really think about sex every 6 seconds? And I was like, yeah, it's probably a little more than that. But, you know, it's just bizarre. It's, I don't know. But anyway, that was a good talk.
I do like going out to a park and just seeing like a man older than me just sitting there and reading a book peacefully and think, you know what? I'm going to be at that point at some point.
Man.
I just,
It'd be nice.
You're not going to be in the park. You're going to be like, oh, now I finally have time to play video games.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens now. I'm at the park and I'm thinking, man, if I was in my apartment, I could be playing video games right now.
See, they took over. They took over your mind. Instead of thinking about how many women you can get STDs from, now you're just thinking about video games, man.
So we've come to the conclusion that Dr. Zebra was correct.
Yeah. So well done on your thing.
And that future generations of pigeons will starve.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, like, his whole hypothesis that men are not going to put the effort to court women, like, you can kind of see the same thing in Japan, but it's not because of technology.
Yeah.
It's because if you're sexually oppressive as a culture, people aren't going to put through the effort.
Right, and that's becoming now all the crazy censorship that's been going on the past 30 years, all that stuff, that's catching up to us now. And that's why people have to look for a free bastion like porn to be like, well, now, you know, they separate their normal life from their sexual life, which shouldn't normally be the case, in my opinion. I know I'm probably a crazy liberal in that regard, but, you know, because a lot of people think, okay, now I'm flirting with somebody.
Right.
But now my normal personality, I don't flirt because that's weird. But now I'm flirting with somebody. Just that in itself is just a weird thing to me. Like,
oh, but one point before we move, I guess, before we like move on to other things. If you saw like games just being like constant like arousal and constant like instant gratification, why are there so many different forms of games and so many genres of games, and why aren't we just playing that one game that he's talking about?
Sure, yeah. Which game is he getting?
Yeah.
It's like whenever the Beatles made Yellow Submarine, it's like, man, how high were they? What were they smoking? I want it. You know, that's...
Yeah. Just tell me what game he's talking about. Just tell me what I guess it's an N64 game, because that's the picture that CNN regrettably used, was like two kids playing N64. So, I mean, if that's the sacrifice I have to make, playing god-awful Nintendo games on the god-awful Nintendo controller, sure.
No, man, they
just
had a good...
Tell me what game it was.
I bet it was Hydro Thunder, because that was a pretty good port of Hydro Thunder.
What weirds me out about this picture isn't the N64 controller, it's that it's a story about how there's no intimacy with video games, but these two kids are sitting really close together. Like, I don't sit that close next to someone.
And there's two of them.
Yeah. Yep.
There's another person there.
They're clearly having a social experience.
And so I've had some pretty great social experiences playing video games with people.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Like, way more than I would have had if games weren't there.
Yeah.
Because I think reading this are social introverted bastards. I don't know. I am. I don't like people. I like people when they're playing games. I can deal with that.
Sure.
If it wasn't for games, I wouldn't meet anyone.
Right.
So, I don't know. Can we move on to something else?
Yeah, yeah, we'll move on. We'll take a quick break. That's a good talk. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about what we've been playing, a little bit of our E3 plans, all that good stuff. But yeah, we'll be right back. Everyone, welcome back. We are back here. We still got Imran, Mark, and Matt here. We have kind of a loaded second segment. We hope you enjoyed the first one. It was a lot of fun. This segment, we're going to start off with what we've been playing, and then at the end of the podcast, we're going to do our E3 predictions, and we kind of have a internal, what do you call it, a potluck? Like, what would you call it, like a giveaway between us to see who is more right about what's going to be going down at E3?
It's kind of a contest, but no one really wins anything important.
Right. I think we'll talk.
I mean, there are prizes, but they suck.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to talk about the prizes, the very lackluster, unexciting prizes that we have in store for us for getting stuff about a trade show correct. So let's talk about what we've been playing first. How about Matt? How about you go first?
Well, I've found that obviously it's a lot harder to find time for gaming when you have a baby on your lap.
Yes.
It's kind of hard to game, period. You find yourself like realizing that things are an issue that were never an issue before, like getting up to get a controller.
Yes,
exactly. Is an issue now.
Because if the baby's asleep, and like I had this happen to me last night with a pacifier. It's like the baby's asleep, and I was like, oh, I need the pacifier over there, because if she wakes up, put the pacifier and she'll go back to sleep. But then getting up would wake up the baby. So it was like, okay, oh, God, what do I do?
Yeah, and if you're holding an infant, that means, like, even portable games that you might think of playing might be out, like Kid Icarus Uprising. I'm going to end up throwing the baby if I play that.
You can use baby as a stand.
Yeah.
It's true.
Forward thinking.
Teach baby how to hold things.
But they issued a minor update for Gran Turismo 5 that I think signals a precursor to some DLC, because it was 400 megabytes.
Ooh.
Yeah, but that's typically how they do it. They send out the DLC as an update, and then you buy a 100K file to unlock it. It's
kind of like the reverse Capcom Gambit.
Sort of. It's a minor step up from on disk. It's like you're getting the content in an update no matter what, but you have to pay to unlock it.
I think I'd prefer just downloading everything straight when you buy it.
Yeah.
Because that way, I mean, I kind of don't want to play.
Well,
it's going to make me download
a thing. They do this for online gaming so that people can use those cards against you.
Yeah, I understand it. I've had in many situations where I started a PS3 game and it's like, oh, 600 meg update first. I'm like, I don't want to play when this is done. I want to play it now.
Right.
But I do kind of like this, though, because it's that happy medium where you can use them online. But because it's not all on disc, that means there will be more cars coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not all front loaded like that. But the new update gives you a sliding scale reward for using an underpowered car in a race and still winning. So it gives you an incentive to actually challenge yourself instead of just building the biggest, baddest car.
Yeah, that's
trouncing
pretty cool.
The competition.
Yeah, that was always an issue with the Gran Turismo games, as I remember them, because I never played the PS3 one, I guess, at this point. It's just like there was no real incentive not to just like, and there's always the Skyline or like a Super or an RX7 and just like completely dominating everything with some ungodly 999 horsepower beast.
Yeah. Well, this time around, I managed to win a 500,000 credits by coming in third with a Nissan Leaf.
Oh, that's nice. That works out well.
Yeah, that was goofy fun. But
let me say something. I know that Forza didn't really do this either, and it kind of pissed me off. With Gran Turismo, does it have like a challenge series where you're racing, I don't know, like 5 or 6 races, and you get points based on where you place, so it doesn't really matter if you like win first place all the time?
Yeah, Gran Turismo has done series racing throughout the entire history. It's less prevalent in Gran Turismo 5, though.
Okay.
And it's frustrating because Gran Turismo 4 allowed you to save your game in the middle of a series and come back to it. Gran Turismo 5 doesn't allow that. Their solution was just to stop having so many series. But it's annoying because I would rather have a series that's hard as nails, but that they didn't expect you to come in first every time.
Yeah. It's always annoying me about how developers treat racing games. It's like, it doesn't matter if you lead like 90% of the race. If you like blow out on the last corner and even one guy gets past you on the final straightaway, you're fucked. It's like there's no points, there's no nothing. And it's just enormously frustrating when that happens.
Or the converse, you know, you build they set up the requirements of the race where if you're even marginally competent, you are going to get a guaranteed first place every race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that was kind of good to have some incentive to challenge myself there. So
nice.
But other than that, no, I really do want to get back to playing more of Xenoblade. But this weekend we had people over for Memorial Day, so I actually spent the whole weekend cleaning.
Oh, boy.
Tomorrow at work we launched a new website, so that means I'm not going to be doing any more work from home next week. So that should free up some more gaming time, too.
Oh, nice. Good deal. Yeah, speaking of racing games, you guys are talking about kind of those awkward scenarios. If you join the Rockstar Club on Steam like a few weeks ago, they gave you a free copy of Midnight Club 2. Oh, Midnight Club.
Did they actually do that yet?
Yeah.
I didn't get one.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you did. Yeah, they don't announce it or tell you you got it. You just have it.
Oh, hey.
I remember people liking Midnight Club.
It is. It's really fun until you realize how bad the rubber banding is.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you basically the way to win every race is to stay in fourth. Just stay in fourth the whole time until the last straightaway, use up all your nitrous and your golden. Because if you – they're literally half a second behind you all the time. No matter how good or bad you are, they're always a half a second behind you.
That always pissed me off. I think it was Burnout 3, the one where Burnout really broke out for like the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
There was one race where you're racing as like the F1 clone, the F1 looking car. And it didn't matter how well you drove. You can do just a perfect line every time, and you could like set up the most ungodly, horrific wrecks behind you.
Right.
the assholes behind you were always like 3 seconds off. And if you drifted like wrong once, they were going to pass right by you.
Yeah.
It's just rubber banding is the bane of any racing game.
Yeah, it's they set that up so that it's always supposedly challenging. The problem is that it heavily favors mistakes in the first half of the race.
Mm-hmm.
Like you make a mistake and the game is forgiving enough that you can rubber band catch up. But that means no matter how perfect you are throughout the beginning of the race, if you make a mistake in the last lap, you're just fucked.
Yeah, or if you make a mistake in like the last third or like last fourth of any race, you're done. You can't catch up.
Yeah. Yeah, it is super frustrating.
The worst is when you manage to win a race by not pushing yourself, and then the next time around you really try to push yourself and they crush you. But in order to crush you, they had to set all-time lap records. That sort of frustrates me when I'm racing my ass off, and then suddenly the computer's gotten so good that they're destroying my best all-time records.
Right. And there's nothing you can do about it because that's the way the AI is set up to catch up with you.
Yep.
So this is why we hate racing games.
Speak for yourself, man.
No, I still love racing games, but this is why I hate racing games. Supposedly we're getting another Forza this year.
Yeah, that's become an annual franchise.
That's the worst thing to annualize.
Yeah, that's kind of killing it.
There's talk of another Project Gotham or whatever. The one that's always at the Xbox launches.
That'll be weird.
I can deal with that. Is Bizarre not even open anymore though, right?
Yeah, Bizarre's been shuttered.
They split to different developers at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess Microsoft would just have to outsource it somewhere else.
I don't know how will that go.
Probably not well.
Yeah.
I have Project Gotham 3. I've never played it.
It's good stuff, man. Get all the kudos.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's see. And Mark, you've been playing yourself some Civ 5.
Well, before we get to that, I want to talk about this weekend a little bit. This weekend, I realized that I don't really like Stalker. And I'm not saying like Stalker's a bad game or anything. I understand why people like it. It's like you have a pseudo open world. It's not really open world because everything's loaded into these zones, which kind of destroys the whole like conceit of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But you have an open world game, and I don't know, maybe this is some kind of weird Russian mindset that this doesn't work with like the way Western RPGs work. I'm playing like an open world game. I expect to be able to explore. If you explore in Stalker, you're going to die.
Yeah, you will be dead.
Yeah, there's just no question about it. And like, the reward at the end of it is some really bad writing. It's not like you're getting it's like, okay, maybe you're getting like an AK-47 like with a scope on it, but you can also like, you probably killed a dude like 5 hours ago who had that same rifle. Mm-hmm. So if you come upon like an abandoned hospital or anything full of like anomalies and like Russian soldiers. There's no use. If the game doesn't send you, there's no use. You're not going to get any better out of that. So I can't deal with an open world game that actively punishes exploration.
Sure.
So that's my review. Punisher. I mean, Punisher. Don't know
what Punisher. It should be called the Punisher.
The Punisher. Also, a Punisher open world game would be great. Anyway, Stalker sucks.
That would be great. Just run around killing everything, just making up reasons afterwards.
Yeah.
They needed vindication. Yeah, I mean, Stalker is a very specific, very, very specific type of game. And I think that's why it's kind of appealing, is there's not a lot of games like it. But now there's something I need to try. It's been getting a lot of hype lately, and probably a lot of the listeners out there have either already tried it or heard a little bit about it. But it's DayZ.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'd be all up in that if I had Arma 2.
Yeah, Arma 2 with combined operations and... Apparently, like, Amazon's having a sale on it right now, and you can get both of them for, like, $13.
Yeah, but the Amazon version doesn't plug in with your Steam version, and, of course, the Steam version is the one you want.
Well, sure. I mean, because I think I got Arma 2, off of Amazon. They did a sale for it, and I got it. I kind of regret not getting it on Steam, but I may want to check out – I'm going to check out DayZ anyway. Because DayZ
is free, right?
Yeah, DayZ's just a mod, and basically what it is instead of all this military stuff, it uses that same engine. You know, bullets have physics, and, you know, just two shots to the head and you're dead, and if you jump into water, then all of your ammunition is ruined, like that type of stuff. It has that, but it's a zombie apocalypse game, to where, sure, there's, like, NPC zombies that you have to run away from, but the most dangerous people are other players.
Right, as it always is.
Yeah, and there's these crazy different stories and stuff like that, and just stories that happen naturally. And I guess that's why I liken it a little bit to Stalker, is because a lot of the stories that happen in Stalker have nothing to do with the narrative. It has to do with, oh, I was outside of the hospital and I saw the Russian soldiers inside the window, so I decided, hey, I'm going to set a trap, but then the trap didn't work. You know, all these things that you're doing as a player is progressing this kind of story that only you have, but that other people can have stories like that too. And
it's good because you're actually interacting with other people. The one thing that, you know, I think DayZ might work better as something you, like, watch happen instead of play.
I think so.
Because the thing about DayZ is, like, you're spawned to this world and there's no way to live through it. You know, you're eventually going to run out of food, or you're going to run out of bullets, and then you're going to die. Mm-hmm. I understand it's not actually a game, it's just a mod, and, like, there's no goal to it right now, and maybe, like, the Army guys say they're going to work on something more fully fleshed out later on because it's enormously popular. Mm-hmm. But it's just, like, if there's no goal, if, like, you're eventually going to die, why not? I'm not sure what you're going to get out of it.
Right. I think it's more – it's about the journey, not the destination.
Sure.
Like, that's one of those – everyone should experience DayZ, and then whenever it's a game, come back and do it. Kind of like Minecraft.
Yeah.
You know, Minecraft, all these crazy stories are happening, and, like, oh, I built this really nice bridge, and some fucker came into my game and burned it down. You know, you have these just crazy stories that you have, but, you know, it's kind of an enticing prospect.
Although it is weird that, you know, Arma 2 has this enormously realistic, like, war gamer physics going on, and the shit the zombies do is just so completely janky and broken, like just warping through, like, walls and stuff.
Oh, yeah, because AI wasn't meant to have that many things on screen at once, because Arma is a very good game, but it's a very subtle might be the right – yeah, very technical. That's good. Yeah, it's almost like you're playing an encyclopedia version of a shooter.
Sure.
There's five different ways you can hold your gun depending on what you're doing. Like, you can lay it on the ground if you're crawling. You can hold it while you're crawling. You can throw it in front of you and then crawl to it to crawl faster. Like, crazy stuff. And that's just the crawl. You know what I mean? So – but whenever you put that against, like, a survival multiplayer setting, it's pretty rad. Like, ideas like that are, you know, pretty exciting. But anything other besides Stalker? And
all right, well, I've been playing some Civ 5 because Dragon.
Greg
Jam.
There we go. He purchased it for me. Great guy. Thank you very much. I'm greatly enjoying this strategy, this very deep strategy, turn-based strategy game that I never thought I would be into. And it's pretty interesting. I don't want to, like, sit there and degrade the game by saying it's, like, a strategy game for beginners, but this thing is totally a strategy game for beginners.
Sure,
I'm kind of loving it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's pretty great because after a while, you know, I was just, like, micromanaging every little thing my dudes would do. It's like, I go there and build a farm. I was like, man, go there and build this fort over here. And you go here and build these roads, and realize, like, man, my turns are taking forever and I'm not really getting a whole lot done. Then realize you can just tell those guys to automate that shit.
Yep.
And you don't have to worry about them. You can go and handle your empire and you don't actually have to handle any of that. And it's not like they're incompetent at it either. It's not like your cities are going to, like, ultimately revolt because you let stupid AI just take over. It's like, no, they know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
So you can do awesome. Your stuff.
Yeah,
and it's actually exactly the opposite problem I had with Call of Duty.
the best strategy game.
The greatest.
Yes, the best strategy game. Yeah, the other World War II one with the strategy game that was made by Relic.
Oh, yes, Company of Heroes. Yes.
Company of Heroes.
Yes, I think. Yeah, all these fucking World War II games that we had back in the mid-aughts. But anyway, that's exactly the opposite problem I had with that, and it's like it's resolved that because I felt like I had to micromatch every little thing those dudes would do, or they would die, and they would die, and there was just too much shit going on at one time for me to take to track. It's like a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of pressure to a Civ game.
There's really not. They did a great job of – there's a lot going on, and a lot of it's pretty important.
Yeah.
It doesn't like overburden you.
No, I can click on like my pikemen and take a look at these crossbowmen and see exactly like the percentages that, well, not the percentages, because he didn't bother giving percentages. It says decisive victory or minor victory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's this, they're not afraid to like just strip down everything and make it accessible.
Yeah.
Which is sort of the problem PC games have had for a long while.
I agree.
They're afraid of pissing off the grognards. Yeah. And I can just imagine, I understand those arguments the Civ guys were having when this thing was released. You know, it's, oh, they dumbed down the thing. So they didn't dumb it down. They just made it so it was possible to be consumed by people who haven't been playing Civ games for 20 years.
Right, exactly. Like, people on forums, you know, a lot of Civ 5 players are like, hey, I really like Civ 5. Are there any other Civ games? And then, of course, you have the people that come in and it's like, oh, Civ 2 is clearly the superior game. And then if you go play Civ 2, yeah. Oh, my God. Like,
probably hate it. Oh, it's probably awful.
It's rough. It's rough.
But it's like, I can play this and think, well, maybe this – and it actually is a good, like, starting point because, well, maybe I could like Sins of the Solar Empire because
yeah.
This isn't actually incredibly overwhelming.
Correct. And that's really exciting. Like, I'm excited that Civ 5 was so successful because I think, yeah, whenever people hear 4X strategy hex-based gameplay, they're like, yeah. You know, your brain, like, starts shutting down a little. Like, how does this work? But, yeah, Civ 5 does – I think it is very accessible, but it's also – there's also so much to it. Like, it automates a lot.
It's so deep that I still have no clue what the hell I'm doing.
Sure.
But I don't feel frustrated by not knowing what I'm doing. I'm confident that if I sit there and I just keep playing, that I can eventually figure it out. But the trick is that when I'm still playing, I'm not hating the game.
Yeah.
Because that's the way a lot – like Street Fighter right now. If you try to get into Street Fighter right now, you're going to hate that game for like the first 3 months until you know what the fuck
you're doing. Yeah, like Counter-Strike. Same way.
Yeah, exactly. Or Counter-Strike. Or say Left 4 Dead. Mm-hmm. It's like if you're just going into that game, you hate it because you're not part of that culture.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge problem games are having right now across the board. And it's why the Wii was kind of successful because it broke all that shit down. You guys don't need to know all these stupid button combinations.
Yeah.
This is how you work a game. And maybe those people actually will go on and play different games later on. They probably won't.
You got to be careful about like actually casualizing things because look at Street Fighter Cross Tekken. They tried to make a system where people who are extremely pro and people who are casual can play together, and nobody cared because the pros don't really want to play with casuals and the casuals don't really want to play with pros.
Yeah, definitely don't want to play with pros.
Yeah, and I think you probably have to decide at the outset what kind of game, what kind of compromises you're willing to make.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be what the Firaxis guys did with Civ 5 or something. Okay, these are the compromises we'll make. We're willing to lose this chunk of the audience to get this chunk of the audience.
Right, because there's something they got rid of. I think I got this right, even though I may have it backwards. Because there's no religion in Civ 5, is there?
No, there's not. Apparently, there will be one that we release in a expansion.
Yeah, the Gods and Heroes expansion. That's right. Because Civ 4 was kind of broken because of religion. So they literally...
Religion breaks everything.
Well, that was the problem. It's like if you had a religious victory, you could win in like 4 turns. And so they took that out. But the only thing was people were furious that they took out religion. Because religion had been a thing since like Civ 1 or 2. And they're like, how can you do this? How can you do this? But they replaced it with something. And I can't remember what they replaced it with in Civ 5. But it changed it for the better. And then more people played it. What was that?
I said science. It was a joke.
Yes. You can't replace religion with science.
Well, no. I think you're kind of on the right track, though. Like, it was something like that. It was like evolution.
It's
kind of
cultural victory or something?
Yeah, cultural, I think it was. Because you could always have artistic victories and things like that in the older Civ games. Because, oh, I have better painters than you. That means we make more money and we win. You know, that's how it went. But yeah, they changed some stuff, but they were not afraid to get rid of a key part of the game, or what people thought was a key part, and stay true to what it's always been. It'd be like if, you know, Street Fighter somehow got away with like, oh, there's no more combos, and people are like, what? And then you play it, and then you realize, oh, this is actually a better game because of it. You know, just some
that game, and it's Mortal Kombat 9, and people, I don't think people are very happy with that.
Yeah.
The newbies weren't. It was actually very difficult to new people into Mortal Kombat, despite what happens. Maybe it's impossible to get to work that into like fighting games, because I think that same idea was kind of tried in Super Smash Brothers series, where they just sat there and said, "We're going to get rid of the bullshit, and we're just going to have people like beating the shit out of each other."
Yeah.
And you know, people like it. But it's not actually something that's a gateway drug for other games.
And then they replaced it with other bullshit, like, oh, now your character is going to randomly trip over himself, and you're like, right. Yeah, that's a great mechanic. What the
fuck? Yeah,
what?
Guys.
Like, imagine if that was in any other game.
Right.
Any other game.
Yeah. I'm just randomly going to fail.
Oh, thanks. We know you're having a great time in Gran Turismo 5 map, but your tires are going to blow out and your car is going to fucking flip. So now you have to repair it every 10th game.
That's like, called top. What was that? That was Top Gear Rally did that.
Wow.
For the N64.
And even DayZ.
Setting somewhere in Gran Turismo 5.
Even DayZ does that to where if you go into any water, all of your guns automatically don't work. You have no more ammo. All of your maps are ruined. And I was like, okay, I can see the ruined maps. But guns still work. Water, but they still work. They can get waterlogged, sure, so there's a higher chance of failure. But then, like, all of your shit in your bag is gone. And it's like, did I go insane when I went underwater? Like, did I just, get this off of me? Because
what they should do is they should take DayZ and make an Oregon Trail game out of it.
Yeah, that would work.
I should see if they should have an item in DayZ that's just, like, plastic bag I found on the ground. Now my guns won't get ruined when I go in water.
Hey! And if like DayZ had an economy, it'd be like the most valuable thing in the world, this fucking plastic bag.
Or a hobo bindle.
A bindle!
Yes, man.
God, bindle's a great word.
It is.
But you would have to find boots that have the big toe missing.
I think
stovetop hat with like the lid comically flipped up.
Yeah. Just totally. Like, just that happened.
Why is there not a hobo zombie game?
Oh, shit.
Maybe there should be a zombie game, but it's hobos instead. You're trying to get away from the hobos. They got knives.
Wasn't that Condemned?
Yes, that was Condemned.
Condemned, you get away from the hobos. And the bears.
Chase apps you moaning, change, change.
But I do think there's a danger in devs get in their head that they have to punish the player. And that works for certain games, like hardcore games. Like Bayonetta will definitely punish you if you're not doing something right.
Sure.
But if you're doing things right, you're having a lot of fun. But Bayonetta also has a setting where you can just pound on the buttons and get through the game. And it seems like you're doing something all right.
Yeah.
But I think like devs get in their head that they have to create that disconnect. Or I don't know, I'm not part of the culture. I never made a game myself. Maybe they feel like they're losing some sort of street cred if they make a game too easy or they make a game too fun.
And that is a good point. I mean, but to be fair, it's the whole yin and yang theory of like, okay, if they have a reward system, by proxy, you have to have a punishment system.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me of EverQuest, Brad McQuaid. He always had this division and everything he did was a zero sum. It's like there was a class in that game called some kind of knight, undead knights or something. Anyway, Shadow Knight maybe. But there were tanks and they had skeletons with them. And one day they had a buff, like a buff patch where everything about the Shadow Knights became a little bit better. They're a little more decent in combat, but there was this fun little fluff thing. I forget exactly what it was. That the Shadow Knights had a skeleton that was followed around. It was a little like one hit point skeleton. It sucked. But it was a nice little thing that they had. And I forget exactly. Maybe it's like the skeletons were dancing or something, and they got rid of it in that patch. And when people came to Brad McQuaid and said, why'd you get rid of this fun little fluffy thing that the skeletons had? They said, well, we had to remove something from the Shadow Knights. We gave you all this stuff. We had to remove something.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you didn't.
Right.
You're just doing that to be a dick.
Yeah.
Because you don't have any better ideas.
Well, Shadow Knights, you can't have everything.
Yeah, you can't have everything. People might get mad. It's like, no, you don't actually have to be a jerk just to be a jerk. You don't actually have to punish your players. I think that might be what's happening with Civ 5. you don't actually have to punish your customer, basically. There's no other genre in the world that operates like this, right? It's like you're not reading a book and all of a sudden, like the middle chapters are, like, German for some fucking reason,
yeah,
right?
You have to learn a new language in order to understand the brilliance of what I made.
Yeah, you take a look at that book and throw it away. It's like, this is dumb. Why the hell did you do this? But games, we just accept it.
Yeah.
You know, we just accept there's some kind of bullshit difficulty spike in the middle of it.
Now this level, you fight all the bosses back-to-back, and it has a time limit. And you're like, the fuck?
Yo, why can't I do these other fun things that I was having fun with your game? Why can't I just get past this? Oh, fuck you. So, screw you.
Oh, God, that's kind of the ending of Hitman Blood Money.
Yeah.
That's the perfect example. There's that mission called Requiem. And that mission is awesome as shit. And then the after credits go, and then the real final level is hard as balls.
Oh, yeah.
So effing hard. I still haven't beat it.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you guys see the screenshot for the trailer for the new Hitman?
No.
Nope.
It's nuns in latex leather shooting at each other.
Okay.
Oh.
So games are still being made by 13-year-olds then.
Games are still being sold to 13-year-olds.
Nice.
Nothing has changed since the 90s.
Are we saying sexy dominatrix nuns in latex is a bad thing? Are you guys against that? I don't... This is strange.
We'll find out in the trailer.
The only reason I'm against stuff like that is that that is the one example that gets brought up as the counter argument to games are a serious medium. No. Yeah. Look at this one game that is now going to represent all games.
It's like,
if you try to take a look at, hey, look at Shadow of the Colossus. This is fucking amazing. Well, this is dumb. Look at these tits over here. Is that, well?
Yeah. It's not fair for me to be mad at that game for existing because there's someone who is going to like that sort of thing and just see it as a goofy film that it is.
Films can't be art. Look at the Toxic Avenger.
Yeah. Look at how shallow and stupid Transformers 2's plot was. That
movie had a plot.
Yeah.
It was literally an hour and a half action sequence.
Well, for Michael Bay, explosion equals plot. Like, whenever he has his plot ideas, he's like, and then this blows up. And they're like, that's not a...
I'm just picturing a storyboard, just like explosions on every card.
the same
just explosion. Between explosion, just question marks. And then he just puts a post-it mark. Yeah. Post it over it with another explosion over the question mark.
Says, and then somebody will pull down a card and write implosion on it, and it'll just scare them.
Or like the storyboard explosions have like in the comic book sound effect font, like denouement, climax, rising action.
Just fucking explosion. Meanwhile, like Nolan is sitting like in a bar somewhere just drinking himself to death. Just like,
It's like, this is Michael. The industry I'm in, shit.
Fucking Michael Bay.
He's making good money. Him and Whedon have now, they can write checks whenever they want to do.
I would Whedon hate on Michael Bay. He did that Verizon commercial where he made fun of himself. And it's like, you know what? At least he gets the joke.
Yeah.
I do think like there is one redeeming thing to our geek culture, and that's that Josh Whedon has the number 5 best-selling movie of all time, and it's only been out for like a month.
Yep.
It is.
Best-selling Disney movie of all time, though.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I believe it crossed that line recently.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Huh.
So what we're talking about is like Firefly 2 will finally get made.
No, everyone's too old and doughy at this point.
Yeah, it is.
And
you know,
Nathan Fillion has a show.
Yeah. You know, he'd just make fucking Dollhouse 2.
Oh, God, no.
He'd do it.
He could probably do Buffy again.
Yeah.
He could do a Buffy movie. I think it's worthwhile.
All those actors still exist and aren't doing anything important.
Yeah, they haven't had careers since Buffy, so...
Well, Sarah Michelle Gellar has some show that, like, all I could tell from the commercials is that she's replacing her dead friend and hoping no one notices.
That's a great premise.
I should probably...
Well, no, it's supposed to be her identical's twin sister.
Okay.
So at least that's semi-plausible.
Yeah, that's still fucked up, though.
But, like, even the first commercials were just people calling her out on it.
I just hate that Allison Hannigan, who was this awesome character and like the awesome strong character in Buffy, has just turned into like this lifelong chick who plays the exact same character no matter where she's at, and she's just always off in the periphery. And
that said, I did like How I Met Your Mother. That's a surprisingly good show.
I can't deal with sitcoms or television.
It's sitcom, but it's Neil Patrick Harris, which makes it better.
All right, I can deal with that. Anyway, we were talking about Stalker? No, we were talking about Civ 5.
Civ 5, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's good game. Yeah, it's a great game. And I'll do mine real quick, just because it has to do with a 4X game. Well, first off, I'm in a closed beta right now, and I can't talk about if the game is good or bad, but you guys know that on Steam called Crater?
No, but it, keep going.
It's a... I'll read it.
Is it Half-Life 3?
Crater is a squad-based role-playing game set in a colorful post-apocalyptic world. It combines the combat mechanics of action RPGs with the top-down view of classic old-school RPG and RTS games. So basically, it's like the old Half-Life Commandos 3. Games.
Sounds like Half-Life 3 to me.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a
Scoop, you heard it here first.
That's right.
We're beta testing Half-Life 3.
But yeah, it was really weird. I got into the beta, got invited from one of the devs of Fat Shark, and then he was like, it's under NDA.
Great.
I was like, all right, that's fine. And he's like, but we'll tell you when you can talk about it.
So when did he say you can talk about it? Has it been recently?
I mean, it comes out June. Yeah. It comes out in 1 week, 6 days, and 16 hours, so better be pretty.
Because the reason I ask, unless he told you you can talk about it, then you're breaking NDA right now, and he can sue you.
Because I haven't said anything. Us. I just read the Steam profile thing, which is public knowledge.
Yeah, but now you're saying that you baited it.
I baited it. Yes, Crater is indeed a beta. Tis not interesting or not interesting, says nitrobeard.com. But
NeoGAF report said Crater is not interesting.
Yeah. My God. But the game I actually have been playing recently, besides Diablo, of course, is a game called Endless Space that's on Steam.
Oh, yeah.
And it's an RTS, or not really RTS, it's a 4X turn-based strategy game.
It's still in beta, right? They haven't actually released the full one, right?
Yeah, and here's the weird thing. There was a game that came out last year called Sword of the Stars 2. This is going to get kind of gumpy into strategy game talk for a second, but Sword of the Stars 2 came out. It was a sequel to Sword of the Stars, naturally.
Great name, by the way. I love that name. Sword of the Stars.
Sword of the Stars, a giant fucking ship that like cuts through hyperspace. But the game was terrible. Sword of the Stars 2, fucking trash. It was poop from a butt. Terrible, didn't work half the time, was more, like, intensive on my system than Crysis 2. Just, it was a train wreck. And then they said, oh, haha, we uploaded the wrong version to the Steam servers, we'll fix it, and never fucking fixed it. Which means
so they lied.
Yeah, they blatantly lied. So, it's still broken. It plays better now, I can get up to, like, 20 turns in Sword of the Stars 2, and then it freezes and blue screen to death and crashes. And I'm like, I haven't had a Windows 7 blue screen of death yet. Yep, Sword of the Stars is the game that does it. So, nice. Endless Space promises the exact same thing. It's like, hey, 4X strategy, it's a space game. If you really like Galactic Civ, like Civilizations and, you know, Masters of Orion and old school games like that, you're going to love it. And I was like, man, I don't know about this. And they're like, it's $22 and your name's going to be in the credits. And I was like, all right, done. That's how you appeal to me, is if I know my game will be in the or my name will be in a game's credits, I'm usually a sucker for it. I did the same thing with Grim Dawn. So I was like, yeah, sure, let me try it. And in their beta, they're technically still on alpha. It is the best playing 4X game besides Civ 5 I've ever played. And it's in alpha.
Okay. And does it feel like a fully full-fledged game at this point? Or is
absolutely.
It...
I think my current game that I have logged right now is like 510 turns.
Oh, wow.
So it's a very meaty experience. It doesn't go as in-depth as something like Civ, but I mean, Civ has had decades of innovation. You know what I mean? Like, they've been around for a while. Right. But it's...
Now, how would this compare to Sins of a Solar Empire?
Well...
Like if you said you're going to pick one space themed 4X game, and I know Sins of the Solar Empire isn't really 4X, it's got some real time. But say you had to pick one.
Right. Oh man. I would probably personally still go with Sins, because I like the kind of fast paced combat where I can control every single one of my guys. Basically, the battle system in Endless Space is a cutscene that you make choices during, but that cutscene's fucking beautiful. Like, it is gorgeous. But everything else, the diplomacy, everything like that, I would say is actually better than Sins of a Solar Empire. I just think Sins of a Solar Empire kind of has a little bit wider of a scope because it has the tactical combat, stuff like that. But it's very, very good. But yeah, it's still an alpha. You can get it on Steam. It's $22, I think. Whenever it comes out, it'll be $30. And It's very good. If you're into, like, it's a little bit more hardcore than Civ, I would say. Like, there's a lot of numbers everywhere. You basically need an Excel spreadsheet to keep track of what's going on. So it's not as well automated as Civ 5 is, but not a lot of
games are. Does that seem like something they'll remedy in the full version, or is that seems like this is the UI and that's what they're sticking with?
Kind of what they're sticking with, but the UI is really nice. It's easy to get around. You can get to any screen with a touch of one button. Like, it's easy to play. It's just kind of the – some people, you know, it's easier to remedy with, oh, I'm Alexander the Great. And since I know Alexander the Great, I know kind of what's going on. And, oh, this is how Egypt was built, you know, with Civ 5. With space stuff, they make up fancy, here's Phazon Cannon. And you're like, I don't know what the fuck a Phazon Cannon is. You know, like, right. I'm just going to take it for what it's worth. And, oh, it gives me plus 5 damage. Sure, I'll take it. But, you know, it's that – you know, kind of disconnect between the real world that Civ has and kind of fictional space opera. But if you're into sci-fi 4X games, it is the best game since Master of Orion 2 in that regard, if you're looking for a very traditional game. But that's pretty much all I've been playing. And Imran, I know you got that Dragon's Dogma story. I want to hear about
it's
that.
Kind of like, okay, so there's... In one of the first quests you go to, it's a big winding staircase down this hollow ruin. And along the way, there's a giant. And the giant is apparently excited every time you have women in your party, which I have both my character and one of my rooks.
Yeah.
So he ran straight for me and killed me like 5 times.
God.
So one final time I try again. I figure after this, I'm going to try and find a way around him if I can't kill him. I jump on his back, and every time you jump on his back, he tends to fall backwards, so that really hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to keep doing it, so I'll jump on, then the second I see that animation start, I'll try and jump right off, and then slash him while he's down. So I do it this time, and he gets distracted by the other female party member, who is standing on the edge of the staircase, goes to swipe at her with me on him, falls off the edge, and goes about 3 stories down as I jump off, figuring he's falling backwards, land on the staircase with my, like, just gripping the edge, and then it goes like, oh, you leveled up. I was like, okay, no stamina left. I'm just going to have to, like, go get all my rooks and open all the gates along the way.
Mm-hmm.
The second I get up... Oh, go ahead.
Did you put a point into stamina right then and, like, get stamina back up?
I don't have any stamina potions that I know of.
Oh, okay. But you can, like, level up your stamina.
Yeah. You can get endurance skills that I bought one of, but I was hanging on that guy for a while.
Okay.
And so, like, the second I get on the staircase, all these undead zombies start coming from the floor.
Oh.
And I, like, there's no way for me to move fast enough with that low stamina for me to get to the gates. So I'm fighting one off, then slowly moving to the next switch, then fighting more off. And by the time that I open the last thing, I get healed from the other side of the gate by my mage rook.
Nice.
So, like, this game, it has a lot of bad quests and bad quest design, but the actual moment-to-moment combat is fantastic.
That sounds really cool.
How would you compare the motion-to-motion in relation to another game?
It's better than Amalur, way better than Skyrim. Like, it's actually interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you're going to have to struggle at, you know, it's more Dark Souls than it is anything else.
Okay.
Wow.
It's Dark Souls to the party, and that party is not always... They're not going to bail you out of situations. They are just as likely to die as you are.
Interesting.
So get it when it's cheap, because quest design really does kind of suck.
Yeah.
And apparently it's another one of those infamous Capcom games where all the DLC is already on the disc.
Yep, but it's all quests, and as previously mentioned, sucks. Yeah.
Right. So why would you want more of that?
And I explained, like, last week, they haven't fixed it, and I don't think they're going to. They raised the price of all the DLC from 7 to 20.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just to be dicks.
That's silly.
Yep. That's a horrible way to apologize for the fact that this game has on-disc DLC, which everyone knows and hates.
Seems like Capcom is having a huge problem with, like, their PR in the past year or so.
I think they're run by executives who don't like or play video games.
Right.
And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's probably it.
They basically hold us in contempt.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw that I could buy a haircut for $2.
That's true. I went to the barber, and he would not give me... He wanted real money.
Give
it. Really?
It may have been because I chose a haircut that, like, is DLC. So maybe like they wanted me to buy that pack before I could do it. But right. Yeah, the game is more blatant than BioWare games about buying DLC.
Oof. BioWare games are right. That's what I hate about Dragon Age. Some dude is in my camp that I didn't invite in my camp, and he has a quest mark over his head. And I was like, okay, let me see what this guy wants.
Yeah.
All right, you need to go get the golem, but the golem's $14.99.
Yeah.
My immersion is option gone.
To buy DLC there.
Yeah.
And so, Mass Effect 3 ended with you coming back and saying, like, The Legend of Shepard isn't over. Make sure to pay money for DLC later.
Yep. To fix our stupid-ass ending. By the way, have we mentioned that Mass Effect 3's ending? That it sucked?
Oh, the bad one? Yeah.
Yeah, the awful ending there. Yeah.
Trisha Helfer said she was going back to record more lines, so I'm guessing they're adding things to it.
Well, that's kind of funny because, you know, I'm a huge Battlestar Galactica fan. That series ended great until the actual ending. Like, the whole last episode was fantastic until the part right before the credits.
Oh, yeah.
To do with Trisha Helfer going and saying dialogue. And that was the part that kind of ruined that ending, and I was like, oh, fuck, that's stupid.
And the sad part is, like, the scene, I don't want to, like, spoil it, but if you watch Battlestar, the final one, you know the scene. The scene right before then with Bill, but that was where it should have been, and that was the perfect encapsulate everything. It was beautiful. It's like
One of the greatest television scenes I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, I didn't really like this final episode or the fact that the series kind of fell apart the last half of the last season, but to get to this moment, this one scene, okay, perfect, that's worth it, I forgive you. Exactly. And then the fucking epilogue happened.
That was the worst. Okay, so epilogue was cool, but
speaking of awful endings, I started, finished, and 100%ed Final Fantasy 13 2 this week.
Okay,
that I don't want to spoil anything, but the ending to that game, it is as sequel baity as I've ever seen anything ever.
So are we getting Final Fantasy 13 3?
Maybe, I don't know. Like, it'd be a cheap game to make, but the game also 4.3 million people who bought Final Fantasy 13 did not come back for 13 2.
Right.
So
a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, maybe they won't do it. I would welcome it because that game was fun. Right. Mostly.
Maybe you sell all three in one package and say, hey guys, come in, buy these three games for like $60.
So I went on this bender after I finished that game to actually look up the story for Final Fantasy 13. Apparently I finished the game, but apparently I didn't understand any of it in retrospect.
Yeah.
Because now we're talking about the original Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah.
We're talking the original
first game. And
it's so weird that we have to say that. Anyway, go ahead.
Like 90% of the story was in the data logs, and if you don't read that, none of it makes sense because it expressly says motivations.
Oh wow! Really?
Yeah. That doesn't come out through dialogue. Like, oh, so that's why that villain was doing that thing. Like, are we past a moratorium on Final Fantasy 13 spoilers?
Yeah, I'd say
I'm not going to ever play that game, so yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so there's a villain that, like, he's like the space pope or whatever, and he's trying to, like, and your characters are unwillingly aligned with the other side because their god kind of branded them, so they have to fight for them. But the Space Pope, he attacks you three times. And each time I figured he does it because he wanted to kill me, but it's because he wanted you to get stronger to destroy his world so he could provoke God into coming out. None of this is clear through the actual game.
That's the most convoluted.
It's convoluted, and what's weird is I ended up actually liking the story after I read this, but God, I wish they actually put it in the game.
Yeah.
Seems like maybe they didn't feel confident in like their own storytelling. So, oh my god, this is really dumb. We gotta hide this shit.
My theory is they didn't have time to do it. Like they spent so much time fucking around with trying to get HD development to work that they didn't have time to actually properly tell the story. And it's not a great story. It's a Final Fantasy story, but still, it should have been in the game, and maybe the game would have been perceived a lot less badly if they had done it right.
Now, you finished both of the Final Fantasy 13s. Does it now that you played? Does it like make sense? Like the stuff that happened in like 13-2? Does like that make more sense, or do they seem connected anyway?
13-2 handwaves everything by just saying time travel hijinks.
Oh, great.
So, no, nothing makes sense. But then, like the ending comes and. It basically says wait for 13-3. After you finish the game, you can go back and do other things, which you have to do because, you know, you don't get the proper item to challenge the other possibilities or whatever until you've beaten the final boss. And there's a note from one of the main characters to his past self basically saying, a big trial for you is coming up. It's like, that is the most bullshit asshole sequel tease I've ever seen.
Oh, that is silly.
I like that game, I guess. Fuck that.
Yeah, enough to buy it a third time?
If they give me 13-3, I'm not going to complain. I will buy the game and play it out. But I don't think it's getting made. Like, Square Enix has, like, no Japanese presence at E3 this year.
Oh, wow, really?
They have Kingdom Hearts 3D and Theater Rhythm, and those are both games that have already been released.
Jeez.
I mean, maybe there's going to be a Versus 13 trailer at Microsoft conference? Maybe, at most? But I don't see... I feel like Japanese development for Square Enix is basically winding down. Which is crazy to say, considering two generations, they were pretty much the top of the industry.
Right, exactly. That's a bizarre thing to think about.
So winding down off of consoles and going to handhelds, or just winding down off of this handheld, this console generation?
I would say mostly to handhelds, but I'm saying mostly for Western development is where they're focusing.
Oh, okay.
It's like Hitman, Tomb Raider, all that stuff. Like, there was a job listing recently that pretty much confirmed Deus Ex 4. Or for you, Mark, Deus Ex 3.
Oh, that makes much more sense, yes. That's what I wonder what's going on, yes, all right.
And it was like they were saying starting for next-gen consoles. So, I mean, I'm thinking Square Enix is mostly going to be Eidos now, which is crazy to think about. But yeah, video games and porn.
And porn.
Video games, porn! Anyway.
Speaking of the future of video games, should we get into E3 predictions now?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right, so how are we going to do this? We're five predictions.
Okay, yeah, but we each have five predictions, and it can be a kind of general stuff. It can be about the big three, like Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, or it can be about, you know, hey, Capcom's going to show this, or, you know, it could be about, oh, there's an announcement for this service going on this system, you know, just really anything, and we can
Do
limit
wrong
ourselves.
Do predictions take points away, or we're only counting right ones?
We can only count right ones.
Okay.
Because... I think there's something, and we're probably going to notice it this year too, is that we think too many happy thoughts about E3, and we get excited, and then we make these predictions that would be awesome, and they never happen. So I'm not going to really take points away from us getting it wrong, because odds are 99% of what we're going to say is probably going to be wrong, because nothing that cool happens at E3. But we'll go ahead, whoever gets the most points right... And we'll be able to do this on E3 week, which we'll also talk about here in a second. We'll kind of look back. And the winner, I think we've decided, is going to get a copy on their platform of choice of Sonic the Hedgehog Episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
Not Sonic Hedgehog 2, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic 4 Episode 2.
Episode
Sonic
2.
Sonic 4 Episode 2.
Yeah, that has Tails
Sonic
in it.
We chose this game is because if it was a good game, we would all try to win, and that would might... Right. Cause some arguments about, you know, what counts and what doesn't.
Right.
But this is a game that, like, we'll probably play, but nobody really wants.
Sure. So it's a prize.
Like, I'm the token Sega guy here, and I really don't want to play this game whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like those middle prizes on, like, The Price is Right. Like, everybody wanted the camper, everyone wanted the RV, everyone wanted, like, the nice kitchen set. But then there was that stuff in the middle. Like, here's a set of headphones for a Walkman. You're like, well...
I would use that if I had it, but...
Yeah, sure, but I could also go to the store and get it for $5. Yeah, that type of
thing. I wouldn't have stood in line for these fucking tickets if I knew that was what's going to happen.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's like... okay, so that's good. And I'm trying to think, because I haven't really thought at length about what I'm going to think about E3. Like, for some reason this year, I think everybody goes through at least 1 year of this, to where it's not necessarily burnout, because I'm interested to see what people have to say and what they have to show, but it kind of feels like we've been there, you know?
I think a large part of it is because we're kind of, like, in the middle of consoles right now.
Yeah.
So we know that there's not going to be a lot of neat stuff released, because we know where it's going to be. You know, if there was, like, some great stuff on the horizon, then, yeah, we'd be excited. But it's like, well, it's kind of like, I don't know.
Well, we know all the games are going to be showing because they already showed them and they all got delayed to February.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. And then some of those aren't being shown at all, like BioShock, not at E3.
Yep.
Weird. It's just
anyway.
Weird stuff. But yeah, who would like to go first with their five?
I'll go first. Okay. I'll go first.
Yeah.
Because it's going to piss me off when that once I say these and other people take them. So I'll go first.
Okay.
All right. So, Metal Gear Solid 5 for the next wave of HD consoles. You're going to see that.
Okay.
Updated Nintendo 3DS with not with a dual analog joysticks, because that's not going to happen. If it was, it would have happened before now. But with a larger battery and just easier to hold, they're going to update that.
Damn you!
Yes, thank you. There's going to be a Panic Vita price drop, which will be hilarious. We're not going to see the 360-2 or the PS4. But we have Nintendo's announced that they will have like two players with the Wii, the two tablets at the same time, and the Wii U tablet will have multi-touch instead of the awful single touch thing you got going now. It'll have multi-touch and be kind of like a modern touchpad. So those are my five.
Interesting. Okay, so a lot of Wii U stuff. Like a lot of, well, two out of five, I guess.
Yeah. Well, no, they're just that's the Wii U announcement. Two players with the multi-touch.
Okay. Nice.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are actually pretty good. I think you might be onto something about that Metal Gear one. Because they keep showing the Fox Engine, but they don't really talk about what it's for.
Right.
Which is Project Ogre.
Well, I figured. What's that?
Project Ogre. It's an open world game that Kojima's making.
Yeah, but that might be called Metal Gear Solid 5.
No, they showed screenshots. It's different.
Oh, it is different? Okay.
Yep.
Stop ruining my dreams.
But you never know. I
would actually expect them to tease Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah.
Because it's Konami, and what else do they have?
Yeah, they have another soccer game.
Winning 11.
Yeah, exactly. The next Winning 11, this time with more soccer. Or football. Let's see.
Go for it. You're the one who started this.
Yeah, I started all this madness. Okay, I think Konami's actually going to be kind of Castlevania-driven this year.
Aw, damn, you took mine.
Yeah, like, because Metal Gear, I don't know, for some reason Metal Gear is just not getting the same type of pop it usually does with the gaming community. But yet, with all this stuff about, Kid Icarus kind of made a splash. So, Castlevania, I think, is going to make a comeback. We're far enough away from Lords of Shadow, even though that was a decent game, a lot of people didn't think it was truly a Castlevania game.
Well, did you also not see the announcement today?
Yeah, I saw that one, and I mean, that's why I kind of felt bad talking about this, like making this one of my predictions, because they're probably going to end up showing quite a bit of it at E3. Is that Castlevania, Metroidvania style? What's it called? Mists of
something Mirror
Fate.
Yeah, Mirror Fate. Yeah. And they say, it's kind of has 3D segments, but then a majority of it's going to be 2 and 2.5D platforming and open exploration. But
these people suck at making video games, okay? They've not made a good video game. Why do we think that a 2D Castlevania by these people will be good? It won't. It will suck. All right? Mercury Steam, I hate to – you guys suck at making video games and you in Castlevania. Stay the fuck away from Castlevania 2D. Okay, I'm done.
I wish we could have you at E3 and just yell it at the screen whenever they show it. Like, what is this horse shit?
Well, no, Konami's conference is actually this Thursday at 12 a.m.
Oh, God.
Or this Friday, I guess.
That's a good sign.
Pre-recorded, so.
Oh, yeah, you know, like they did last year. Yeah. Let's see, I think. Oh, let's see. I know something's going to happen with Microsoft announcing a new type of entertainment thing, like a Hulu Plus, Amazon Prime, that type of thing. But I'm trying to figure out what it will be. Like what sort of integration they're going to hail as like, oh, there's going to be a SportsCenter ticker at the bottom of every video game. Or something. They're going to do something.
What if they just release like a straight like $60, it doesn't play games, but it's just a stupid 360 box that doesn't play games. All it does is stream shit. And they're going to sell it for like $60.
It's your media hub. Yeah.
Roku?
Yeah, like a Roku. Only
I know what it'll probably do. They'll probably end up making that $99 Xbox plan a retail nationwide thing, and you have to do the payment through Microsoft.
Okay. Sure, that'll count.
I could see them pushing that. So it can kind of act as their price drop, even though it's not really a price drop at all.
All right, that's true.
God, let's see. Because I kind of wanted to stick with the big three, because I'm just bad at guessing what random developers are going to do. Let's see, with Sony, no mention of the regular PSP. And it's going to be... They're actually going to... I think they're going to do a lot of focus on... They do this every year, but they're going to talk about the PlayStation brand. And they're going to keep saying that over and over to try to think that, oh, at the end of here, we're going to show the sizzle trailer for PS4, man. It's going to happen. And it will never fucking happen. They're going to keep talking about, we have great new innovations coming from the PlayStation brand. And then you're like, oh, man, what are they going to say? And then they won't say shit. Because
it's Uncharted 4.
They won't even really announce
it. PS3.
Yeah, okay. Or they'll do that. They'll be like, for the Vita, exclusive. Yeah. And you're like, oh, great. But let's see. Yeah, I just think Sony will keep lambasting the Sony, and how great and strong the 10-year PlayStation plan is, but then never announce anything else. Like, they're not looking forward. They're kind of stagnant.
So your prediction is, like, the Sony 10-year plan is actually the PlayStation 10-year plan is actually the PlayStation 10-year plan. They weren't kidding.
Well, yeah, and it has been. People don't realize that. God of War 2 came out on PlayStation 2, like, what, 9.5 years after the system came out?
Yeah.
Well, they're apparently working on a successor. It's nicknamed Orbis, or the project is.
Oh, boy.
Just the question of what's going to be in it, because... IGN seems to think it's not all that powerful, but I'm guessing Sony's going to see the error of this.
Someone released rumored specs for it, which were all off-the-shelf parts. So someone built that, and it benchmarks considerably slower than a PS3 for certain games.
I think they're going to match Xbox tit for tat.
Yeah.
Whatever. And Microsoft is apparently going crazy, so.
Let's see. With Nintendo, that was actually a really good one, Mark, about the two controller tablets.
Yeah.
I would say with Nintendo, they will still not announce a price for the Wii U.
Oh, they've said that.
Oh, they did say that? Okay, never mind.
Easiest prediction ever.
Yeah, I got one.
no release date. No release date.
They've also said that.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, it has to be something like that. How about no spec sheet?
That's actually
Nintendo policy. That's a reasonable assumption.
Okay.
They never talk about specs.
Yeah, Nintendo policy is they never release specs for their consoles.
I just had this feeling this year that all of these people are going to have all this information, and it's information that the gaming community readily needs in order to be excited about anything, and they're not going to give it. So it's going to be like, well, this whole show has been a waste of fucking time. Like,
I don't know. As long as they show games, I think that's like the important
thing. But who's to say they're going to do that? Like, the last E3, they barely did.
Okay, so your prediction... Okay, so Cammy's prediction is no new games for the Wii U.
Well, Matt said, they didn't really have a set release... Like, they didn't tell you what was actually going to come out with the Wii U last year.
Because it wasn't going to come out then.
Right.
Yeah. But they have to show more than they did last year.
Yeah, right.
I think the big difference between this year and last year is going to be that the 3DS really, really did badly after E3.
Yeah.
And they know why. Do they know why to the tune of, like, the correct pricing? Maybe not. Yeah. But I think they know why that it needs good launch games.
I just got a fishy feeling about Nintendo this year. About they're going to, you know, they're always slightly misguided. People complain about, oh, they missed the mark yet again. But I don't even think it's going to be that. I think people are going to kind of over-dramatize it. But Nintendo's going to do something.
Is that your prediction? Gaff will over-dramatize something Nintendo does?
Another 100% authorized. But I think Nintendo is going to just – they're just going to be there. They're just going to show up this year. They're going to show up. Hey, guys. We got this thing here. It's going to be neat. And it has the little... Did you see the part with the little pad that you draw on? That's pretty neat, huh? All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
So, yeah, you think it's going to be another year where Reggie kind of walks out and just says, well, you're like waiting for him to go one more thing, like Steve Jobs. But instead he's like, well, it's been fun. See you next year. And you're like, wait.
Thanks for all the pie graphs, Reggie.
Let's phrase
this as an actual prediction.
Yeah.
That, like, you think Nintendo's not going to show many games?
Well, it doesn't have to do with the games. I think Nintendo's going to be lazy this year. They're just not going to show hardly anything. I think
so. They're not going to show anything new about the Wii U.
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, like, what does that mean?
They're not going to – I don't think they're going to announce any new features. They're not going to announce they might not even put, hey, we got more publishers on board. I think they're going to announce it and be like, yep, remember the Wii U? It's still coming out, guys. All right, we'll see you next year.
Okay. We can nail that down as a prediction then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, all right. Nintendo's literally not going to do anything at E3. Like, that's my prediction.
This three. Next.
We'll do my wild
card. You get two left.
My wild card is very kind of specific. I'll say Konami announces a new proper Suikoden game.
Okay.
Even though that won't happen, I need all of mine have been very vague so far. So I think a Suikoden announcement. It doesn't matter what system it's on. They're just going to say, hey, there's a brand new, fully 108 stars of Destiny version of Suikoden coming out.
New mainstream Suikoden.
Yes. Yeah, mainstream. Right. Not like Suikoden Tactics. But it'll be like an actual Suikoden game. And then last one will be...
You haven't done a Microsoft one yet. Oh, no, yeah, you did the Microsoft one.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, how about... Okay, I got one. And this might start a little ruckus. They're going to show Black
Ops. Yeah, you did.
No, they're going to show a lot of Black Ops 2 stuff, and it's going to look fucking incredible.
But we already knew that.
Because, see, it's backwards. People are going to be like, oh, Call of Duty. But I bet after it's done, people are like, holy shit, they fixed Call of Duty.
Okay. You think they're actually going to make some effort at Call of Duty and not release a rehash?
Correct. I think what they're going to do, they're going to do just enough stuff to make it different from whatever the old Infinity Ward would have made.
Okay.
Like, they're going to innovate with Call of Duty, but part of the prediction, it's going to piss people off. The Call of Duty diehards are going to be like, what the fuck are they doing? That's not Call of Duty at all. But then the rest of us are going to sigh relief like, oh, great, now we can play Call of Duty again. So, that's mine.
Okay. Sounds good.
That'd be mine. All right, let's see. Matt?
I guess Matt can go.
Okay, let's see if I even have five, because I haven't, like, written anything down here. First one, this is going to fly in your face, Wes. Mm-hmm. I think Nintendo's going to announce backwards compatibility between the Wii U and Wii, and that you'll be able to play any Wii game on the controller, but you're going to have to point a remote at it. Nintendo filed a patent a little while ago that shows that controller with a sensor bar on top and the ability to point the Wii remote at it.
So you're going to have something that will hold the Wii.
There's going to have to be a stand for that tablet.
Okay.
And you'll be able to play Wii, current Wii games on that small screen. That's my first Nintendo prediction. Okay. My second one is...
Can we go one deeper and, like, you can play the Wii game on the tablet while a Wii U game plays on the screen? It'd be like Inception.
I'm going to throw this out there, a negative for Nintendo. I think they're still not going to figure... We might not know this till Wii U launch, so this might be a wash. But I think they're still not going to figure out that the apps that they have running, like the news channel and the weather channel, should actually download stuff continually in the background instead of waiting for you to launch the app.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're still going to be lost on that point. Yeah. I think that the Wii U launch, they're going to announce at least two major franchises for Wii U launch. I'm not sure which ones yet, though.
Are they third party or are they actual Nintendo?
No, Nintendo franchises. Okay. Like,
so first party stuff.
A Mario and maybe like a Metroid. The big guns. I think they learned their lesson from the 3DS launch.
I think that's a good point.
So it's not going to be Pilot Wings Resort 2.
Yeah. Right. I'm predicting they're going to show. We're going to see both the next Xbox and the next PlayStation, and that both of them are going to be non-interactive. We're just going to see bullshit trailers.
Or like the shell of the system, like they uncover the deal. Ta-da!
Yeah, but all the trailers for them are going to be pre-rendered trailers you can't believe, just like the PS3 unveiling.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then my last one... Sony is going to try to justify the PlayStation Vita as being a sales success somehow. And personally, I think it's going to come in the form of some sort of chart and graph where they plot quote-unquote PlayStation sales, where they lump all consoles together, both the PlayStation 3, the Vita, and the PSP.
Right.
They did that at their investor conference. They
did they already
Vita
do
with
that?
The PSP.
So I'm going to say they're going to get in their press conference, they're going to get up on that big stage with a giant pie graph behind them or something and try to claim that the Vita is a sales success.
Yeah, I can see it. I can totally see that.
All right. Okay, so I need to stay away from things that I already kind of know.
Right, that was my deal. That's why I kind of felt bad talking about Castlevania. I was like, well, they kind of already did announce that one thing, but I think they're going to just do a whole bunch of Castlevania. But...
All right. So I will say Sony is going to do a streaming thing in the next firmware, or not next firmware update, but some firmware update for PS3 and Vita. Like,
oh, the network play type of...
I mean like an online style thing.
Oh.
Where you don't actually have to download the game. You can just play it from there.
Yeah.
I think they're going to quietly not mention the fact that they're taking away online discounts, but they're going to revamp PlayStation Plus at the same time. So you only need PlayStation Plus to get the discounts that they already promised.
Oh, I see.
So, they're probably going to do a big push for PS Plus with, a bunch of free games, but they're taking away the discounts. Like, Resistance came out today, and it does not have the 10% discount that Sony Games promised.
Wow.
So...
You're talking about the downloadable Vita stuff, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Let's see, that's two. Gonna say 3D Mario. They're very specific about that. 3D Mario from EAD Tokyo. The Mario Galaxy
which
game.
System?
Wii U.
System. Okay. Launch title.
I don't know launch title, because they showed Galaxy well before the Wii came out as well. That took another year and a half.
Okay. Yeah, and the only thing they'd say about launch titles at E3 is launch window, which means next to nothing.
You guys talk amongst yourselves while I figure the rest of this out.
Yeah, I think...
So did you guys watch Battle of Blackwater Bay?
Then the weird thing, I know in mine, I probably came off really, really, really negative against Nintendo. And it's not necessarily that, because for the past few years, I haven't really liked E3, period. Like, right. E3's just become a thing now. It's like, I would much rather go to PAX than go to E3. Because,
Have you been to E3?
No, I've never been to E3.
Go to E3. You can find a way. You should go there. You'll see the spectacle.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, it's really fucking loud.
Yeah, I imagine.
I can kind of see where you're coming from with Nintendo, because, I mean, their past couple conferences have had that now what feeling at the end. It's like, okay, so where's the actual announcements?
Right. It's kind of a smoke and mirrors. They show you these stuff, and here's a trailer for the new Super Mario Brothers, and people are like, holy shit. And then you're like, that's not coming out for another year and a half.
Yeah, it's like, that's cool, and it presses all the nostalgia buttons, but...
But I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, Sony and Microsoft are definitely guilty of the same thing. Especially with here's another. I can't wait to see, even though the new Gears of War game was canceled, I can't wait to see how they try to scrounge it up. They'll probably bring it up now. Gears of War is on Facebook, or they'll do something. They're going to try to bring up the Gears of War name somehow. You know what I mean?
If you believe the rumors, People Can Fly is supposedly working on a new trilogy for it.
Oh, Jesus. See? And that's what I mean. And they're going to probably announce the trilogy for the Xbox. But what does that mean? Does that mean, okay, one game, number one is going to be on the 360 while two and three are on the new system? Or,
It would actually make sense if they did, their Unreal 4 demo with a new Gears of War 3. Matt just had to leave, but I've got my other two predictions, finally.
Oh, nice. Right, yeah.
I think Fire Emblem Awakening will be announced for the US at their Nintendo's conference.
Oh.
And I think Dead Space 3 is going to be shown playable, not playable on stage for EA's conference.
That would be a cool little reveal, because that's one of those games. See, E3, the things that excite me about E3 are things like that, to where it's not necessarily some big juggernaut. This is going to change the way you wake up in the morning. But it's like, okay, Dead Space, solid series. Here's the new direction we're taking it. We have a guy playing it up on stage. We're going to do a quick question and answer after the show. So all this information comes out about it.
I think they'll show it co-op. I'm not going to necessarily commit that to prediction, but I think they'll probably show it co-op.
So they're going to ruin Dead Space. That's great.
Well, it's supposedly not co-op or mandatory. It's co-op optional. Yeah. So not Resident Evil 5.
That breaks the entire point of Dead Space.
Why be somebody there with you in single player?
Okay, so it's two separate games.
Yeah. You can go through the campaign with... Think Halo, where you have that different colored Master Chief with you if you're multiplayer.
Right.
I never played it multiplayer co-op. That's kind of dumb. But okay, I can deal with that. As long as they don't shoehorn multiplayer into Dead Space, because that's entire, it's like this claustrophobic experience that just frightens the hell out of you. And if you add more people to that, then you're completely ruining the point of Dead Space. It's now Gears with...
I think they realized in Dead Space 2 that it sells much better as a shooter. So I wouldn't be surprised if they go that direction.
Yeah.
As an action shooter... Because, everything there's, the IGN rumors were that it's basically Isaac versus what amounts to a necromorph-powered human. And, glowing red eyes and, DBZ powers.
My wishes come true.
Nothing but that sounds good.
All right, but that's my five.
Yeah, that's good. It's solid stuff. And... I wish Matt was still here, but we can also ask this to Brian. I was thinking, what would be a successful E3? Because the more I'm thinking about it,
show one of the 360, two or the PS4. Show one of them.
Yeah, I think they'll tease them. I don't think they'll show anything tangible.
I did a mock-up of the shells of the boxes, nothing like that. And for the
My guess is they'll have an Xbox 360 logo on screen, and it'll slowly morph to the Durango logo.
And that'll be at the very end of the highlight reel.
Right. Yeah. It'll be everything. Journalists will come away tweeting about it.
Yeah. And you won't be able to tell which games in the sizzle reel were 362 or just regular 360.
Sony's doing a weird thing this year where they're allowing 200 random people who are there to just come in. So I guess they're trying to get lots of enthusiasts so it doesn't sound clearly like plants this time.
Right.
Right.
But if they allow enthusiasts in, they're going to be even more cynical and jaded and yell at the wrong things.
You haven't met many Sony enthusiasts lately, I think.
That is a good point. Now you're talking about the GAF guys. So,
I'm talking about the
people
that the Sony Samoa crowd.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That they can do no wrong. And,
yeah.
Because the plans were really obvious last year. They were standing up. There were four people standing up and cheering for a Sly Cooper CG trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, partly, I would have because I fucking love Sly Cooper. But, yeah, weren't they also cheering about...
Dust 541 or something?
Yeah, 514, that CCP game. And then, oh, God, what was the other one? There was one other just game where people are Oh, didn't they announce the Resistance 3 Facebook thing?
Probably.
Social media, and people are like, oh my god! And I was like, what? Silly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, hey, THQ has Jason Rubin as their president now.
Who's Jason Rubin?
Former founder of Naughty Dog.
Yeah, Naughty Dog Duder, creator of Crash Bandicoot.
And then he left the industry for a while to go to Hollywood.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
He's basically airdropped onto the Titanic right now.
Yeah.
So Danny Bilson left. And there's two theories. Either he knows THQ is going down or he was passed over for the job. But either way, him leaving isn't a good thing. Mm. So especially not for THQ.
Right.
Man, I can't believe THQ... It sounds bad, but I can't believe they're actually still around. Because I know all that crap happened with the selling and the bankruptcy and the...
There's still a lot of momentum going on with any company that size. They still have games in the pipeline that will sell well and will keep them around.
for a while. They're struggling to not get delisted from NASDAQ at this point. They have 6 months.
Yeah.
I'd say, like, if there's any chance for THQ to do well, it rests on the back of St. Row.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
But it's not going to happen anytime soon, because from what we can tell, Saints Row 4 is probably being started for next gen, and if that's true, then it's not coming fast enough.
Yeah, I'm just really hoping that nothing bad happens to THQ. Are they the ones that are going to be publishing Company of Heroes 2?
I think so.
Because I don't want them to go under before that happens.
Apparently there were a bunch of layoffs at Relic recently.
Yeah. I mean, but that makes sense because they had to hire on a whole bunch of people for that Warhammer shooter.
The MMO?
No. What was it called? Space Marine last year? They had a whole bunch of people from there, and I think they were doing DLC, and then...
Well, the layoffs are recent, like within the last week.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of the same thing that happened with, you know, a lot of people talked about the... I don't know if this is the same case for THQ and with the Relic team, but the same thing kind of happening with the Old Republic team. People are freaking out because they had a lot of layoffs on that. And it's like, well, they weren't necessarily layoff. Those people were contracted, you know, and contract work in the gaming industry works like that. Like once your deal is done for that company, you're done. You're let off the payroll. So I don't know if that's the same thing with that Relic's going through or if they're actually going through, hey, part of our studio is shutting down, which would be unfortunate.
They didn't bankroll an MMORPG with money from the government.
Yeah, with $50 million. And here's the thing. We can kind of close out on this. Yeah, the 38 Studios, done. Gone. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And
dead.
Okay, so Rhode Island is $50 million in debt on that project. Or whatever.
More than they seem confident that they're going to be able to pay off the loan.
Right.
But, it's unless they have the money already, I don't see a decent way without selling Copernicus.
Exactly. And then – and here's the thing. Nobody's going to buy Copernicus because it's a game that literally made Rhode Island $50 million in debt.
Now, Copernicus is separate from Amalur, right? They're two different things, right? Or
it is Kingdoms of Amalur, the MMORPG.
Yeah.
Okay. So
the game that came out earlier this year is Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So is he selling, like, the brand? Is he selling, like, code? Is he selling the concept? Because none of those things sound like they have value.
Yes, like, he's selling all of those.
Yeah.
Okay, because no one's buying that game in a post, like, free MMO economy.
Right.
No one's buying that.
Someone in Korea might, but not for the price that will let him pay back that loan.
Yeah, not at all.
There's other options, and if you're going to pay for it, then you're going to play WoW. So it's like there's no home for that game.
Right.
That's something Kurt Schilling should have realized years ago, but he didn't. It was a vanity project for him.
Yeah.
And it's like a bunch of people lost their jobs, and people who moved specifically for that game to Rhode Island now lost their houses probably.
Well, they don't only lost their houses, but now they have mortgages on those houses that they have to pay off in an economy in a market which doesn't actually have like a video game industry anymore because
in a state that has no other developers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the developer. So now they have these mortgages and it's just an extraordinarily scummy thing.
Being vicious. I think he was being incompetent.
Yeah,
it was a total vanity project for him, and he should have. It's an important lesson of not biting off more than you can chew. But looking at THQ these days, it's hard to gauge how much you can chew at this point, because 2 years ago I didn't think that they would be on the verge of bankruptcy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Saints Row announced, they had all this other stuff going for them, and that stuff sold pretty well.
Yeah, and it just made that one horrible venture like that went wrong that cost them everything. So is everyone at that point right now where like one thing goes bad or like the one bet that goes bad can fucking ruin you? Because how many studios are on the verge right now? I mean, are we talking about Capcom being on the edge? Are we talking about Konami or Namco being on the edge?
They're probably fine mostly because of unrelated gaming things, though the new Gacha laws are probably going to hurt them.
Yeah.
EA is going to continue being EA,
sure.
So they'll be fine. Activision, they will probably post a $1 billion loss after this trial, but other than that, they'll probably be fine.
Well, supposedly you already have that money set aside, so that might not hurt them whatsoever.
But, I mean, they're going to be able to say that it affected them. But
yeah.
basically the big guys will still be around, but it's not the big guys that are going to be making the interesting things.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be the middle degrees that get hit the worst. Because, okay, you got the indie guys that are doing okay on freaking Kickstarter getting $250,000 of...
That's not lasting forever.
Well, sure, but I mean...
Yeah, but the Kickstarter isn't a long-term plan.
Well, yeah, of course it's not a long-term plan, but at least they're finding a way to get by. And then, yeah. At least for the time being, but just the people in the middle that, you know, they're not quite on board with EA. Okay, someone like if Acclaim still existed. You know what I'm saying? Like, Acclaim would be fucked right now. Yeah. And it's
Ubisoft
just...
Is fucked, I don't know.
Well, they're, Assassin's Creed 3 is probably going to end up somewhat saving that company. I really think that. I think that
it's going to help a lot.
It's going to be a good game. It's going to be solid. It's going to come into release at a great time. The only thing they cannot afford to do right now is push it back any.
No, it has to come out in 2012. The story doesn't make sense if it doesn't.
Right. And, yeah, I don't know. It's just a weird, very weird time. And I think that's also why I feel kind of lackluster about E3 is there's not going to be that middle presence, right? We're not going to see a whole bunch from Capcom. The Konami thing's doing, like, what, 3 days before? You said, like, this Friday they're doing their pre-recorded press conference?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, 3 days before E3, Konami's going to shit the bed with whatever they have. And then, well, I mean, what else is there? It's like, okay, you have the big three, but the big three, I've never been the type that think they're going to do big juggernaut slaughtering announcements because it's just a press conference. It's like, hey, investors... Here's a bar graph. We're in the homes of every family in America. That's what all of those are. So then you get the games, but games are being more pronounced and announced at PAX and games or in places like PAX, and the indie developer stuff has been going on.
The thing is, like, 11 months of Game Informer are more game reveals than you get at E3.
Exactly. Like, okay, like big announcements, like game announcements coming up. Okay, I think Dead Space 3, that's a good call. I think that's going to be kind of, it's going to steal the show, and it's going to probably look great, but the reason why it steals the show is nothing else is there. I really don't think there's going to be a lot of games this year.
All right. On that note, we're running really, really long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we should wrap this.
Yeah.
But this is our pre-E3 megacast.
No. Well, what's kind of dangerous is we're probably going to have another pre-E3 megacast that'll go more in-depth on stuff. But yeah, E3 week's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have multiple podcasts. I don't know really what the scheduling's going to be like, but we're going to have some editorial content for sure. Just definitely keep up with our Twitters.
By the end of next week, you will know what we think.
Oh, yeah. There'll be no question. We'll see who won, who had the most... We'll kind of keep tallies on who had the most predictions correct. Should be a lot of fun. But yeah, E3 weeks, literally, is it next week?
Yep.
Shit.
Starts kind of
this week.
If you're Konami.
Right. Yeah, if you're Konami. Can't wait for that. But yeah, I'm hoping that Suikoden announcement's right around the corner. But that ain't going to happen ever. But this has been episode 88. I'm Wes Gardner. That's Imran. That's Mark Bradshaw. And yeah, and also kind of a shout out to Brian Belita.
Oh, right, he had E3 predictions.
He did have E3 predictions.
Okay, here were his E3 predictions.
Yeah.
Imagine Belita Babies and something board game resurgence in digital form.
Sure. So, Carcassonne is going to have a new expansion.
That's what I said. I said Carcassonne 2, and then I corrected it to Carcass 2.
Carcass Dos. Yeah. But yeah, he's going to have his baby literally any day now, so that's why he's not on the show tonight. But also a big shout out to Matt. He had to leave for baby reasons as well.
We should get a pool together to decide which conference his baby is going to come out during.
Ooh, yeah. And that way the baby can have a nickname. I'm thinking it's going to be the Microsoft one, and we can either name it Master Chief or Master Chief.
I'm going to say Ubisoft. Our baby Rayman Belita.
Maybe.
All right.
Man.
Now we actually have to wrap.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah.